Hello?
Can you hear me now?
Now I can hear you.
Yeah, see,
You
it was.
fixed it.
No, you were. It was your end.
I don't know why though. And I, cause, so I did the Skype test and I couldn't hear the woman.
Yeah.
But then I went into like settings or whatever, and when I do test audio, it just plays that music and I can hear the music fine.
Well, you
So why
gotta
would I
do
be
the
able to hear
Skype
the
test.
music?
Talk to the woman.
Why would I be able to hear the music and hear the ringing when it calls, but not hear the voice?
I don't know. Your machine's all like from the 1900s, so it's probably
I
not
have
compatible.
probably I might have blown one of my tubes.
Yeah.
I was worried about that. They're getting a little dusty. A little
You gotta
dust.
clean them every now and then.
You do. You
Your
gotta.
vacuum tubes?
Hey, you gotta polish your vacuum tubes once in a
Yeah.
while.
I'm gonna call this episode Polish Your Vacuum Tube.
Now, the question is everything set up on my computer here?
You set up to record or what?
I don't know. Sometimes it records. Usually,
I'd be impressed if that was the case.
it's recording.
On 8-track.
I have the no, it's not 8-track. It's a cassette. It's a cassette recorder.
Cassette recorder, okay.
Yeah, it's in between me and the compute my headphones on the computer, which might be why I couldn't hear before.
Yeah,
Possibly.
it could be. Could be. So here's the situation. I don't know when I'm gonna have to leave, but I think it's gonna be around 11, or 11:30, because we're supposed to meet Barbara's uncle for lunch.
So that's fine. It'll be a quick one. Quickie.
It may be, or it may go forever. I don't know. Like, he doesn't give us a time,
If he
so.
can't, he's just gonna show up.
No, he's gonna give
He's gonna
us like
call.
an hour warning because he's driving up from Albuquerque, and then he's gonna say, "I'm
Ah.
about an hour away. Can you meet us at this restaurant?" And then we're gonna meet them at the restaurant.
I understand.
The Mason Jar.
Mason Jar is the restaurant? Or
Yeah.
is the name of your uncle? Mason Jar.
My Barbara's uncle's name is Mason, last name Jar.
The Mason Jar, do they serve everything in Mason jars?
Yes, just like a sausage in a jar.
So that's my next question. Do they serve sausage in a jar?
Which is just the other word for dick in a box.
Is not.
It's
How are you gonna put your
the all ages version of dick in the box, sausage in a jar.
That's true. Give your girl a sausage
Your
in the jar.
cross-eyed is writing subliminal things into your cartoons.
Is possible.
Have you looked in the mirror lately just to check to see if this bloody cross is starting to appear?
Form on
Like
my
this,
head.
yeah, like a starts off just as like little bumps, like a rash.
That would definitely be a dick in a jar.
Yeah.
Cross hung around your neck.
No,
No,
I'm
it'd
just
be
saying,
more
have you looked in the mirror just to check
to
to
check.
see?
I did look in the mirror last week,
And there
and
last week.
I don't remember seeing one.
It's a prolonged process. It usually just gradual.
Speaking of the cross, we need to read Volume 3 of Wish You Were Here for the next show.
I thought we did already.
I
Or
think
am
we
I
only read the
confused
first
again?
two. You might have read further, though, than I.
Okay, I'm not taking it to my next trip to read because I don't want people to see me reading that smut.
I like to take that on the train and read that on the train.
Yeah, read it on the train.
Then whoever sits next to you will soon move to another seat. And if they stay, then you gotta be scared.
Yeah.
They're into.
Well, I think Barb was embarrassed on the plane. You know that Street Fighter girl that has the beret? I don't even know what her name is.
Yeah, Kami or something.
Yeah, Kami.
I don't know how I know
She's got that
that.
green outfit, and then she's got like this thong where she has like lightning bolts on her ass. Well, I don't even play Street Fighter, but I like that cosplay, right? So we're
Why
on.
do you
We're,
like that? Why do you like that
well, because
cosplay?
I'm an ass man. I'm an ass man. I'll be honest with you. I'm all about the
We
woman's
know you.
ass.
Everyone knows Mike is an ass man.
I'm an ass man. I have my license plate and it says ass man.
Just like Kramer.
Yeah, just like Kramer. It says ass man. So we were on the plane and Cammy, I have her as my wallpaper on my iPad. And this particular pose just has an ass, and if you put it in landscape mode, only the ass shows up. So you have to
Cuts
like
off.
put it in vertical mode to see the whole
Oh, to see
figure,
the
but if you have it in landscape mode, there's just ass. So it looked like I
Nice.
was logging in and there was just an ass.
Just an ass looking at you. That's not your fault, though.
We missed you though. God bless. It was weird not having you there.
I know it was unfortunate. It was a bad feeling being here with all you guys there, posting pictures of your antics.
Yeah. You
Damn
missed
it.
out. We did a lot of different things. We
Yeah,
went to a
let's hear
bar and
the
played
Heroes
foosball.
Con coverage.
It
So
was
what'd you
good. It
do?
was
What
the
different things
usual.
did you do?
Well, we went to a bar to play foosball and stuff.
I saw. I'm glad I
Yeah.
wasn't there because you'd humiliate me.
No, you might have been my partner.
Oh, that would have been good. Then I
Yeah.
could have rested on your laurels.
Then it would have been the opposite. You would have humiliated me.
You'd have been punching me.
Just
Step away from the table. What are you doing? Did you just spin? God damn
I'll play by myself. Come on. I'll play by myself.
It's like,
Get out. Go
we'd
sit
do
over there in the
better
corner. Go
if
sit over there in the corner. Go listen to your heartbeat machine in the corner. I brought it along just to keep you calm.
That's what I figure when you're playing foosball, you like become like a different person,
Yeah.
competitive Mike, and start yelling at everyone.
I was very competitive. I was even sweating. I got so into it. I was sitting there drenched, all this liquid pouring from me.
Is a sport.
Yes. And I look like I had ran 10 miles.
It's like, wow, Mike, did you just come back from the gym?
Hey, there's a lot of wrist action in
There is
that.
a lot of wrist action.
Yeah.
Got to
Just
work up
pretend if
your
you were
wrist
masturbating
muscles.
like for 2 hours straight, right? And there was nothing coming out.
With both hands.
With both hands, just ah!
I'm twisting nothing.
Yeah. We had a
So where
Luke,
was the foosball at?
actually, you know the pizza place we usually go to, or the Italian place where we played bingo and shit before, and the
Oh
rock and roll stuff.
yeah.
Oh, we had that weird peppermint schnapps drink. Do you remember that? It was called like sperm in a cup or something like that.
Oh yeah, the
Remember we
Sperminator in
should?
a cup.
Yeah, we drank that together. Do you
I remember. I remember we,
remember?
yeah, we shared the sperm cup.
Yeah.
I remember that. That's sweet.
Yeah, that's it's that it's like only like a block away from
I tell my kids that story when I tuck them in at night.
that. About we shared a glass of sperm.
Remember we had that, and then we had the, isn't that the place we had that candy beer?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It wasn't called sperm in a cup. It was called
The
it was no, but it was called something fucked up.
yeah, oh, so that was, yeah, that's the this, yeah, that weird beer.
Yeah, you like instead of going back the way we usually did, you just go make a right, and then you make an immediate other right, and then there's a bar that has like air hockey,
Okay.
and it's weird too because on a Saturday night, I think it was Saturday night, they have like a lot of people in like disco balls and shit, so the music's blazing, and you buy your tokens up front. Because of the disco lights and all the freaking lights that they beam across, it's hard to sometimes see the ball on the foosball table because it's like really dark and there's no consistent lighting, and then you'll get this burst of light from the disco ball.
You'll be temporarily blinded for a second.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, that evened up the game then.
But it was fun. It was Chris, Daryl, Micah, Hassan and me. And Barb and everybody was there initially until they had to leave because Micah had to drive back home.
Yeah. Cool. So how was the con itself?
I
What'd you
wasn't
guys get
even
in?
there. I wasn't even at the con, but like
Okay.
I like calculated my con time. It was like total of 8 hours. So it was like I was there one day.
Yeah, that's basically what I.
Physically at the con, about
Yeah.
8 hours.
Yeah, that's what, like, when I go to, like, C2E2 for a day, I'm basically there for probably more than 8 hours.
Yeah. So we were outside of the con most of the day. But man, it was a good time. You would have had a blast as
I'm
usual.
sure. So what'd you, I saw you had some nice purchases at this con.
Yeah, I bought three expensive comics. Two sort of inexpensive comics. And I got commissions 'cause Zach Bassett was there, my guy, which I hardly ever
Yes.
see him. I usually order my commissions from him in the mail.
He's done Heroes before, though, hasn't he?
He has, but it was a long time ago.
Been a
He was
while.
at he there was he works at like for a publisher called Cosmic Times. You know the one that does decisions and stuff?
Yeah, decisions is great.
Yeah, well, Zach was tabled with them before.
Yeah. Oh,
And
okay.
that's when they had like their coverless, or what do they call them? The
The sketch covers,
sketch
the blank
covers.
sketch
Yeah,
cover
yeah.
covers.
And I bought like, I don't know, four or five of them. He's really good at layouts, man. He's really good at like being creative with the landscape he has, you know? It's really impressive. So
Is he
I got you. Did you
working on
stick?
any
Did
books now?
yeah, he's still working on The
Okay.
Guesser.
Ah.
Least he will be.
He will be.
Yeah.
Interesting.
He's sort of inking the book that we like, Grave Tracers or Trancers from Black
Oh, he's.
Mask.
Really? I didn't know he was on that book.
He's uncredited, but that's what he was doing at the
Why
con.
would they uncredit the inker?
Don't know.
I don't understand this industry.
So, and then I met Ariel and Nick, who are the artist and colorist of, they were staying with Luke actually, of Shadow Riders, and I don't know if you read that, but
I did not get Shadow Riders because I never read Sixth Gun or whatever it's called.
well, neither have I. Why can't you? It's, you don't even have to. It's a number one.
I never really liked Sixth Gun. I guess
This
just
isn't
to say it
Sixth
that
Gun.
way. It's a spin-off.
I know, but I don't even think it has the same characters.
It could be similar though. What if I don't like it? You'll have to sell me on it. Okay, but she's doing the art on it or inking
Yeah.
on
Yeah,
it?
she
Nice. That's a
is.
good
Well,
it's pretty high profile.
they met at SCAD. I think one was at one campus and one was at another campus, and then they hit it off, I guess, and got married, and then she moved to Columbia with him, 'cause he's from Columbia.
Ah, Columbia. What is he?
He's an
Is he working on the
artist.
book as well?
He's an artist too, but he's doing more like in this particular case, he's doing coloring. That's his gig.
Okay.
He's cre They're both credited on the book. But I don't know why you wouldn't get Shadow Riders. You could get it for free. Don't you get to select like all the comics that you want from Comic Book
No,
Day?
I'm not as big a spender as you. I get a limited number. I don't remember. I think I get like eight or something.
That's a lot. You know what's
Eight?
real? Eight is
It's
a
very limited.
lot.
Eight is not enough.
No, eight is enough.
Oh, I thought it was
A
eight is
matter of
not enough.
fact, there was a TV show
I
called Eight Is Enough.
don't think so.
That's going to be Campbell pretty soon. He's going to have that many kids. Six.
Whew.
Eight is enough. And then that's when he's going to put his foot down. He's going to say, Eight is enough. And then they're going to
Enough.
have their own TV show. Eight is
Fantastic.
enough. He'll be Dick Van Patten.
Yep. With a bunch with comics.
Yeah.
instead of whatever Dick Patton had on the show.
They had that old guy living at home too, the guy with the long black hair. He was fucking old, man. I don't remember that. Maybe I'll turn it to old MeTV. Sometimes they show retro.
Sure. Yeah.
I gotta
They
find out
always
what
show. What do you mean sometimes? That's all they show is retro.
I gotta find out what his deal was. Like, why is he still living at home?
Was that one of their kids?
Yeah.
Okay, the oldest kid.
Gotta find out what the deal is. Maybe he was high school, but he looked like a goddamn man. I mean...
He's probably a burnout and couldn't get a job.
Oh, part of the Nerdy Legion?
Exactly.
He's smoking out there at
He's
C2E2?
smoking. Yeah, he's out there smoking with the
Hashers and burnouts.
burnouts. Was his name Ferretti? Do you
Ferretti?
remember?
Martino Ferretti? I'll have to look at the credits on IMDb and see if Martino Ferretti comes out. I did get to see Martin, but at a very limited. Cause Campbell and Daryl were at the con. We our lunch schedules were not in sync with those guys at all. So
With
we were
which guys? Oh,
with
with the.
Campbell and Daryl.
Okay. Why
So
not? You guys, poor
we
planning.
well we got we ate with them like I think twice or maybe three times at max, and then it was pretty much we'd eat with Alan, Micah and Claire and Connor and Embats. That was
Can't believe those guys were there. Damn it.
yeah, it was awesome talking to. I talked to Embats a lot. Yeah, it's cool to talk to him. But man, it's weird not having you there with your heartbeat machine
Did you probably miss it at night?
and
You're probably like, I
earplugs.
can't
Yeah, you're like,
sleep.
yeah, I can't sleep. I'll go in the next room and you're snoring away because you have your earplugs in and playing your heartbeat machine. Dun
No,
dun
saying
dun
this year
dun.
you couldn't sleep because you're like, something's missing. I don't hear a faint
Yeah.
heartbeat
I
in
don't
the
feel a
background.
telltale heart.
I just
Edgar
can't
Allan Poe
sleep.
stuff going on.
So did you get a good handful of Martin's fine ass?
I did grab his ass. I promise I did. I should have got a picture of it, but I got a good handful.
Yeah. Was it nice and firm?
Yeah. See, I'm not shy. I just went up to him and I grabbed his ass in front of everybody. I didn't give a shit. I'm too
I
old
don't.
to give a shit.
That's right.
And that's their handshake. I mean, it's the Ferretti handshake.
Hey, when in Rome, when
Yeah.
it, gotta
The
do it.
only thing is I didn't do all that caboose action shit that they do.
That comes later. You can't do that at the convention. That's later for the when you're in the choo-choo.
Choo-choo con. Yeah,
What happens to the choo-choo?
I did not get into his caboose, I'll tell you that. But I did grab his ass.
Your finger didn't slip.
Yeah, it didn't slip. I wasn't close to the butthole. It was a cheek. It was all cheek.
I'll speak. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then that's not really an official Nerdy League mass grab, then.
Well,
What's the thought that counts?
I wasn't their hand puppet like you were at that fucking panel where everybody's hand was in your ass and you just had this dumbass smile. You're like, ooh. It's like you're getting a proctologist exam there.
Don't think that would have been in my face. I did
Find
ask them, did you find anything back there?
anything? Do you have any polyps? Did you find anything? Well, you might as well. They're there anyway, right?
Always say never turn down a free
Free exam?
colon exam.
Yeah. Were you clear? Did they both give you a thumbs up or a fist up? What did they have up there?
What happens at the Valiant panel
Stays at the Valiant
stays at the
panel.
Valiant panel unless it's reported on Bleeding Cool.
And it wasn't, so they must have not seen it. It would have been like those baseball things I was sharing. Finger bang. Finger banging at the baseball field.
Yes, there was no penetration at the panel. This is not the choo this is C2E2, not Choo Choo Con.
I went to zero panels. I sort of scanned the panels and there was like one or two, and I just didn't find anything very interesting.
I always seem to go to not enough at Heroes, just because there's always one I want to go to, but it's either at a bad time or I just forget about it until it's over.
Well, a lot of the ones that are sort of interesting fall around that lunch time frame. And our lunches are like 4 hours
At least
long.
4 hours, so.
So it's like a 4 hour window is like a long time.
Yeah, especially that's like prime time for the panels. So no panels. So were there any creators there this year that were different than past years?
They had Doc Shaner, and that I don't usually see. Rags Morales was there, but I didn't find him in my 2 hours that I was there. But
Your 2 hours a day.
yeah, so I missed Rags, and then
That's too bad.
the one that's doing Batman with Tom King, I'm losing her name.
Oh,
Sc
Joelle?
Joelle Jones. Yeah, but she's been there before.
Yeah, she's been there
She's
before.
been there for Lady Killer. I just now she's big. But she like it was the time to like see her because she was like at the corner table and she had no banner or anything. So she there was like no line none of the time I went by. You could just like if she had a banner like with Catwoman or something, her
Yeah.
line would have been crazy because people would have realized who she was. But she was like at a corner. No labels anywhere except for like a white marker-based thing saying Joelle Jones.
Still surprised
Maybe
that
she
she
doesn't
didn't.
like that kind of thing. Like, maybe she's an introvert and she didn't
Well,
want to get overwhelmed, so she didn't put anything there.
yeah, I guess that is in her responsibility, I guess, to put up a sign, and she certainly, yeah, could have. So she wanted people to seek her out, maybe.
Yeah.
Don't know what's going to happen next year, though, because the after Catwoman comes out.
Oh, she's gonna blow up. She should already be at that like level though because of her Batman art, you know.
Yeah,
And then she's like done
definitely.
a lot of covers too. So, yeah, we'll see. And there was probably a lot more people. I just really wasn't at the con this time.
Do you regret not being at the con?
Nah, not at all. I care less about it
Because you
that
had
and
too
more
much
about
fun.
more about hanging out with friends than I do about who's there. It's always been that way, though. It's just getting worse.
Yeah, the ratio is
Yeah, it's like I'm not at the con very much at all. I did win a Black Lightning hoodie, though.
Oh,
You
from
know,
the CW table?
yeah, I lost on the round, but they said they if you texted something to their station, like if you texted Lightning, they'd have a drawing at the end of every day, and I won a hoodie. I was like, fuck yeah. It's a
Nice.
nice hoodie too. Barb won a Riverdale t-shirt. And Alan won. He was happy. He won a Black Lightning t-shirt.
Oh, good. I think I won something last year, didn't I? I think I won an Arrow shirt.
Yeah, I think so.
Those t-shirts are kind of flimsy, though.
Not really. Mine is still. I still wear mine. I had a Legends of Tomorrow t-shirt I still wear, and I have a Flash.
Maybe I just got a flimsy one.
Maybe, or maybe you do something with your shirt that I don't know about.
I am pretty muscular, so it could
Yeah.
just be that I'm stretching it too much with my
You're working
biceps.
out.
I'm working out. I work out when I get up in the morning. I stand up and stretch my legs, and then I walk down the stairs.
That's rough.
It's a good workout.
But then you eat like two crackers and then you're off to work, so.
Then I eat my oatmeal and I'm off to work.
Yeah.
Delicious oatmeal every day.
You eat the same shit every day. It's like non-interesting.
I do not. I vary it. I eat the same stuff every week.
Hey, you'd be happy with one of my meals. I did the veggie plate at Mertz.
Ah, why did you do that?
Because I didn't feel like eating like all this meat. I just felt like, hey, I'll get some green beans. The green beans have an asterisk next to it, though. It's like cooked in animal lard or something like that.
That's right. Dripping with animal fat.
Yeah, so but I had those, they're delicious. And mac and cheese and mashed potatoes. And they're cornbread, man. Holy shit. I like it like that. Like sweet cornbread. Oh my God. And then I had some banana pudding. It was good.
Well, that sounds good.
Yeah, it's delicious. And then I had a key lime pie at the place we usually eat, the dish.
The dish.
Holy crap, was that good.
Don't think I've gotten desserts there, but I always eyed their desserts.
Well, I saw them making the dessert, so I was like, I'm not gonna get overly full. I'm gonna
Save
not
some
get any
room.
appetizers or anything. I'll just save some room. I got the pot roast. Barb got the trout. She said it was amazing.
Ah, I would have gotten that trip. Was it like a special?
Yeah, it was a special.
Oh, damn it!
Yeah, it was good.
I like that place. And did you get served an appropriate amount of time, unlike last year where they forgot about us?
I thought that they forgot about us, not at the dish. They forgot about us at the, what was that place? Crazy
Oh yeah,
Fish.
that's right. You're right. That was the fish,
The dish has
not the
always
dish.
treated us good.
You're correct. I apologize to the dish. Yeah, the dish has always been.
Do you need that? Oh, she's, hey, don't touch! God. The table is meant for comics. It's not meant for you
For
to
food.
sit and eat. Damn it. Woman.
She getting crumbs near the comics?
She just starts throwing shit and like she's not even like gentle with the book. She's just like, get these fuckers out of my little placemat. Like,
It's like she's doing it intentionally.
yeah. She makes one little stare and look of disgust. And then she starts moving shit, and it gets me nervous. She just took my 100-page giants and moved them like yeah, wherever she wants. She doesn't care. 'Cause I went to Walmart to get those things.
Yeah, I'm debating whether I want to go over there.
It was pretty easy for us 'cause they were right. Well, after we searched around for 15 minutes around the store. Here's what happened. It was like I thought they'd be in the magazines or the back area where they have stuff like games and stuff. And there wasn't shit. I asked about five people that comics? We don't sell comics. What are you talking
They
about?
still make comics?
Yeah. What? You're talking about the Avengers movie? We'll take you to the DVD section. What? No, the paper comics? What are those? Nobody knew what they were. They don't make those. And what I did is I was on Twitter and I did at Kyle, my friend Kyle, who's recording with me on some of the DC podcasts lately, and I said, "Where did you find them?" 'Cause I knew he got them, and he said, "Near the registers, near the Pokemon cards." And sure enough, they were there. And I
Wonderful.
got the last issue of Teen Titans too. There was I hear the ratios are like really high on the Batman Superman and then a
Right.
little lower on the Justice League and then there's like three Teen Titans per box.
Yeah, so
So you
that's
know
the
it's like one of
rare
those
one.
toys things. Like when they have toys like a Build-A-Figure or something.
The chase figures.
There's always one figure that is hard to find. Bill missed out, huh? Yeah. Yeah. Missed out on the trout.
How was the trout served, like cooked?
How was it served?
It was pan fried, and then it had a pecan butter on the side that you could put on it.
Pan fried and then a pecan butter
Pecan
that.
butter on it? Was there a pecan butter on the side?
Yes.
Damn it. Pan fried, was the crispy skin?
Crispy skin. Yes.
Damn it.
Didn't care about missing us. You didn't get that trout.
Yeah.
That's right. Trout should have gone for the trout. So, is there any other heroes related
I don't think a lot of people that
experiences to share?
a lot of people did good at the con, though. Like, I don't think Luke had like a real profitable one, or
I am
Sean, or
the
because Sean,
tables.
do you remember Sean Pryor always comes by on Saturday night, to the
Oh,
room?
to visit, yeah.
Yeah, he did this time too.
It's on his schedule. The
Yeah,
man is busy.
the man's busy. He comes by on Saturday night.
It was a slower weekend for him. He was at C2E2.
I think it wasn't as big as he was anticipating, and I think Dean felt the same because he was tabling there.
Yeah. Wonder why. Wonder if it's specific to this con or just in general that the audience, con
Well,
audience is changing.
Jimmy Palmiotti posted something really interesting on Twitter or something, and he said, cons that have the artist auctions take away from sales usually, because people
Really?
want to go bid on some
Oh, so there's
piece.
because they're saving their money for
Yeah, for some piece.
the big piece.
Yeah.
Like the Calvin and Hobbes with the actual sketch by Bill Watterson.
Yeah.
God damn. Yeah, I did look at some of the on some Facebook, I don't know if it was a group or what, that I found. Someone was listing out each of the or a lot of the art that was selling at the auction with the price it went for.
Ah.
Those things usually go for a lot.
Yeah, they do. I don't go. I did go to the day on Sunday, the day after auction. That was fun. I bid on a few pieces.
Okay. Yeah, I like the day after one.
Yeah.
It's the stuff that didn't make it into the main
Yeah,
show.
there was a lot of pieces too. There was a lot of good pieces. It's interesting though. I learned a little bit about it. Like, let's say if Bill Bohmer wanted to do an Alfie and Mr. Bubbles, you could put it in that auction. And it would be bid on even if you didn't have a table. So like a lot of the time it was like kids' drawings that they'd put up and they would auction off, for 5, 10, 20, whatever it was. So I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know if I knew that anyone. I guess I knew that anyone could do it, because certainly in the auction, there's pieces from people who aren't even at the convention.
Yeah. And they had like they had some pieces that, like there was one Batman piece. It was pretty amazing. It looked like it was done like with charcoal or something like that. It looked like if you had like a black mirror and then you scratched it with a razor blade to form the art. It looked crazy awesome. But this guy goes, this wasn't even at the auction and it has a date of 2 years ago. I don't know where it came from, but let's bid on it. And I think that thing went for pretty high.
That's funny. Yeah, last year there was a piece in the auction by an artist I like, and I was it was the day after one, so I was like, oh, maybe I'll get it for like a deal or something. I think it went for like $400. I'm like, damn
Yeah.
it.
Well, this one still went, it went for like 350. No, maybe
Yeah.
it went for 400. It was going high. Like there was two people that just wanted that piece,
They both
and they
wanted
just
it.
kept on, they were going in like $50 increments, and it was going higher and higher and higher. It was it's interesting too, and it's more comfortable. Like it's in the center of the con, and there's not all this heat and people in bathrobes walking around and shit.
What's up with people in bathrobes?
You know what I'm talking about?
Chris Campbell. So it was a good time. I wish I was there.
Yeah. But next time I guess we're gonna go to C2E2, so
I saw people are coming to C2E2.
yeah.
And of course, C2E2 is at a bad time for me.
What do you mean?
Because they moved C2E2.
And what time is that?
Now it's during spring break.
Oh shit. That means that you do the cruises.
Well, no, I usually go to Florida, to my mom's place in Florida. So I think what I'm going to do is, because the C2E2 is like on the final weekend of spring break, so I think I'll do it so we come back like on Thursday or something. So at least I can go to as many days as I can of C2E2.
At least one Sunday, maybe.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll see. Hopefully I'll be there at least Saturday and Sunday.
We're still thinking we might go to Baltimore. At least it's in the cards this year.
I've never been to Baltimore, and I'd like to go there just 'cause it seems like an interesting place to have a convention.
Well, go. It's
Like
still
that
a ways off. You
little
have a couple of months to
area.
decide.
When is this convention? Couple months.
I
Is it
think
till
it's a
next year?
September. End of September. The 22nd of September. So you still have some time to decide.
Oh, I didn't know it was. I thought it was next year. Well, I guess there is one next year.
There is one next year. It's
September, eh?
late in the year.
Interesting. Well, keep me posted. Well, I gotta wait. When is it? I may not be able to go. When is it?
September, what was it?
The
22nd of September, the weekend of the 22nd, somewhere.
I'll have to. My wife is going to England in September, so I have to. I don't know. I have to. I think she's going at the beginning of September, though.
Ah, see, then that's the perfect opportunity. Hey, I
Yeah.
was here, now it's your turn.
Yep. See
Ta
ya.
tag, you're it. See ya. Bang. It's like a tag team. Pow. It's your turn.
Interesting. Well, keep me
Go.
posted. Keep me posted on your Baltimore plans.
All right. So let's talk some comics.
Yes, we have several comics to discuss today.
Know the interesting thing?
Show
All
what?
my favorite comics were Free Comic Book Day comics.
Interesting.
Yes.
But I
And
guess.
one of them you threw at last minute. It was my favorite.
Oh, interesting. So, for sure, this is how it should be. Because if you're putting out a free comic book day, you should put your goddamn best book you could possibly put out, right? Because this
You
is your
should.
chance to hook people. So, in the ideal publisher's world, this is what should happen is your free comic book day should rise to the top of the pile and people should be like, "Holy shit, this is fantastic." But it doesn't always happen. I was looking through some of my other free comic book day ones and maybe we can do them next time because there's a couple that I want to read. Like I think there's one Relay
Yeah, that was an aftershock.
and there's a Die Kitty Die.
I didn't know. Is there?
Yeah, but that might just be reprint. I don't know if it's just reprint.
Well, we can read that. I love Die Kitty Die. I buy that in singles.
I know you do. I read the first one. I was okay on it, so I got the free comic book day because maybe it'll win me over.
I love it because it's like Archie was, but with a darker sense of humor. In other words, it's in the Archie style and it's like meant to be Archie. And the whole concept is just weird. I love it. It's like she's in pop culture and comics and the publisher wants to kill her off, like if you were to kill off Batman or Superman, you know? And replace her with somebody else. So it's like surreal at the same time. I love it. It's from the Canadians.
I think
You
there should
should
be
buy
more
it.
titties.
But that's the Boundless. Did you get your previews?
Yet.
It was
Do they
very
reflect it
interesting.
finally?
Well, it said Boundless and Avatar are taking the month off, and here's our old shit. It's kind of weird. It basically had like collected editions of their old stuff.
Okay.
Like Boundless doesn't collect their stuff, but they had like Lady Death. That's how old the shit was.
So we're cleaning our warehouse. We looked in our warehouse and here's what we have left.
Yeah, it's not a good sign.
Well, Avatar did that a while back where they like blew out a bunch of their trades for cheap.
Well, they did that, and they do it every year, but at least there's like one single or two singles that you could choose from,
Yeah,
like
they're still.
Cinema Purgatoria or Uber or something you can buy. And there's nothing, because I miss Avatar. I'm so glad Crossed is back.
I'm glad they're still putting out Cinema Purgatorio, and I'm glad I'm getting it in the singles because I don't know if we'll ever see collections.
Yeah.
Although I'm far behind, I need to catch up on that.
So am I.
Those are some good stories in there.
But anyway, let's kick this off.
All right.
The mall. Let's kick it off
Oh,
with the
okay, the mall.
best. I love this thing.
Going back to the 80s
It had
for a
that
moment.
nice 80s vibe. I loved it. And it felt some kind of wonderful. I just freaking love that movie. And this is what it felt like with the mob twist.
It was a very, I mean, it takes place in the 80s, like it takes place in 84, and it definitely felt like the plot of an 80s movie.
It was a John Hughes movie. It was exactly that. The plot was almost identical to Some Kind of Wonderful. Did you watch Some Kind of Wonderful?
Yeah, I've seen it, but not in a long time, so I don't
Well, let me
remember
just give
the.
you the premise of what Some Kind of Wonderful. It's a guy that's poor. The guy's played by the guy in Mask. What's his name? Eric
Eric.
Stoltz.
Yeah.
And the other guy is Andrew McCarthy, and he's the rich kid. And Leah Thompson is what? Who
Oh, Mike's getting
is?
corrected.
It's Andrew McCarthy. Oh shit, I fucking missed. God damn it, you're right. Andrew McCarthy's not in Some Kind of Wonderful. It's some black-haired pompadour jerk.
It's not John Cryer, is
No. It's some actor I've never seen before. He was in he plays a rich kid.
I'll look it up while you discuss
Yeah.
it.
I'm getting Pretty in Pink confused, but Leah Thompson is in it, and she's dating this rich guy, and this kid is an artist, and he's like infatuated with her, and he's like, I'd kill this kid if it was my kid. Like the father almost does, but he gets into a situation where she's gonna use him as a joke, and then they're gonna beat him up at the after the dance or whatever, and it kind of like turns around. Like he's so stupid. He takes his college tuition and he buys her these earrings, like real expensive earrings.
I remember this. Well, this is the one with Mary Stuart
Mary
Masterson.
Stuart Masterson, yeah. She's
I remember this
the
one.
drummer. She like plays the drums. She's like pretty awesome drummer, and she's like his best friend in the entire world. And he buys her these earrings, and it's like fucking insane. And he goes to this nice date and he treats her real good. And they're both like playing each other just because one's she's poor, but she's trying to act like a rich kid, and it's a weird situation. And then he ends up with the drummer.
That's right. He sees that he loved her all along.
Yeah, they were best friends the whole long, and he's like, "Hey, here's the earrings." He should have taken the earrings back, but he ended up giving them to the other girl.
Fool. He
But
still
any
made him a th he learned nothing.
No, but his father even said the only thing I can appreciate is the Eric Stoltz character didn't, from what I understand, he worked at a gas station. Like, so it was his money. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't his father's money. It was his
The
money.
money he had made.
It was money that he saved. So to me, that's why I wouldn't have killed him, because I would have just been very disappointed if that was my son. Because that he if that was my money, I would have killed him. If you spent my money on some earrings, I would have just wrung his neck. But it was his hard-earned cash that he threw away his career, and he basically didn't want to go to college. And his father was a blue-collar worker, so he wanted something better for his son. Like, he wanted a better salary. He knew what it was like to work all his life. But this is like this one, except you throw in a mob twist. And I just love all the 80s references because there's a lot of Karate Kid references in there.
That's because they're playing a Karate Kid game. I don't see that it's very similar to that movie.
Well,
I mean, I guess it some of it
it's
is.
very similar in that he ends up on the going on the date
Right. But
with the girl who's with her asshole boyfriend, and
it's
all
a
he
very
says is,
classic
"Go with
setup.
me."
It's the geeky kid who has a job in an organ store that's a front for the mob. That's the 80s part.
It
And
sounds
then
like the whole mall though has fronts. Like it sounds like
yeah,
there's
is
like
run
five or
by.
six sh stores, including the pizzeria that's owned by the mob.
Yeah. And then this kid who has always had a crush on the head cheerleader, and she's dating the quarterback.
There it is, some kind of wonderful.
Well, I mean, that's a totally 80s trope, you know.
Yeah.
The girl you want is dating the
Well,
head quarterback.
that's Pretty in Pink right there too.
That's all those movies. The girl is always dating the head quarterback. It's like, why won't she love me?
Yeah.
And then it's always you end up with the
And
girl
then
that you didn't expect.
he gets the opportunity to get her because her boyfriend's always playing video games and like she's pissed off about it. So she's at her weakest point and she says, "Okay, if you can beat him at this video game," he said, "I could beat him, but you're gonna have to go to the prom with me or go to the dance with me." And he says, "You don't have to kiss me. We just get one dance and then we get a dinner and call it a night." And it was the same as Some Kind of Wonderful in that she was in on it and they were gonna beat him up. That was the Some Kind of Wonderful thing.
Okay.
And Some Kind of Wonderful, Leah Thompson was supposed to take Eric Stoltz to the party after the event, and they were going to beat the crap out of him. But he had met what is that other actor's name? The bald one. He's like in SWAT now or something.
Was in Chicago PD.
Chicago PD. What is his name? Yeah, he was Casey Jones in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the original one. But I can't remember his name, but he meets that guy in detention, and that guy protects him like everywhere. I love Some Kind of Wonderful. I've seen it like 100 times.
Yeah, you can't remember the characters.
I just can't remember the actors. I don't remember the actors' names. I can picture them all in my head. It's like Elias something or another. Elias
Oh.
Cotiace or something like that.
Yeah, that's familiar.
But I love this. I love the fact that the front was like, who's gonna buy these organs? At the mall, So some old couple comes in there and they kind of give him a newspaper with a bunch of cash.
Yeah, and basically it's betting. They're taking money for bets on sporting events
Yeah.
illegally. And then the pizza place, wasn't it owned by like his uncle or something?
Yeah.
Or the I can't remember.
It's like what his uncle because his father, I thought his father and mother were dead.
I know his father's dead.
His father's dead, his mother's still alive, and then his uncle's still alive, like the younger uncle. I think he's got a lot of uncles 'cause he's in the mob. I don't know if I think sometimes you have these imaginary uncles. They're like not blood,
Oh, they're not, yeah, they're just
but they're your derived
family.
uncles because you're in the mob.
They're in the mob family.
Yeah, in the mob family.
And then in this book, the kid makes a deal with the Cuban mafia, which we don't know what the deal was yet. He was going to give them something. But and then it all came down like on the same night, on prom night.
Yeah.
It was good. I liked it. And I really liked the art a lot, too. I don't know who the artist was on this.
I'm so glad, because when I was doing my cuts, I kept them all. And I thought I was almost to get rid of it because it was the number one. And I'm so glad I didn't.
But I had high hopes for it because, like you, I have a distinct love of 80s.
Yeah.
Cheesy 80s movies and John Hughes movies.
This was a John Hughes movies combined with like that John Cryer movie, Hiding Out or something. I don't know. It's just weird. But it was 80s movies. That's what it was.
And the art is by Raphael Lurio.
I read that one like at 3 a.m. last night. Harley had to get up. So I got up and then I was awake. So I read like two comics and then went back to bed. And that's why Harley's so mad, because I had to take a shower right away because of this lunch date. And Harley didn't get her walk. This one's from Scout Comics, by the way. It was a free comic book day. It was by far one of the best.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Free comic book days I've ever read.
And I think I might have ordered number one just because... Or maybe I'm just going to wait for the trade. I don't remember if I ordered number one.
Don Hanfield is the writer. It's very much a love letter to the 80s pop, you know, teenage dramas. I liked it.
Me too.
Top notch. So you pick the next one since I picked The Mall. I love the cover too. It's very like pretty and pinkish. I don't know. With guns.
Yeah, it's kind of what's that one artist that did stuff like that?
I don't know. We don't remember names. We just sit here and mumble.
Whatever the classic, like, kind of new agey artist of the time was. Yeah, the name's Barb would know.
Well, it looks like it looks kind of like the cover to Duran Duran's Rio.
Yeah, it's very, yeah.
Sort of. I mean, at least the color scheme. Wouldn't you say, Barb?
Barb will know what I'm talking about.
No, Barb just shakes her head like, these dumbasses, they fucking can't even come up with a name. We're older. We have white spots. The white spots are consuming. So what do you got next? What do you want to cover next?
Why don't we do the other Free Comic Book Day book that I read?
Okay, which one was that? I can't remember.
Barrier.
Oh, crap. That was awesome.
By Brian K. Vaughan, of course, and Marcos Martin. And this is the one that was originally a digital comic. And now they're doing a printing of it. And they did a Free Comic Book Day version of it first. And it's interesting.
Interesting format, too.
Yeah, because it's horizontal.
No, but if you buy the paper copies, they decided to make them longer. So, like, if you compare the number one, they re-released the number one as a regular purchasable comic book. And it's an inch longer than the Free Comic Book Day comic. So it's
and the Free Comic Day one is traditional size.
Yeah, traditional.
It's interesting. So the
I bought them all. I almost decided to read them all too, like right away, because I liked it a lot.
I liked it enough that I went on eBay and bought the run.
Ah,
got a really good deal too.
Marcos Martin is awesome art. I tell you, he's great.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Holy moly, the colors were fantastic. the story was very interesting because it's like from two different perspectives, and it's very pertinent to sort of what's in
It's
the world
very
today.
topical, very topical.
Yeah, with the border.
It takes place. The woman owns a ranch on the border of Texas and Mexico. And it was one that was owned by her father, and now she owns it because he passed away. And she's had offers. The people want to buy it. I think mostly from
Drug running.
gangs and stuff,
Yeah.
mafia or whatever, who want to buy it to use it. To use it to run drugs, but she won't sell it because it was her father's. It's the last thing she has of him. So she's the one character on the in the book, and the story opens where she finds a skinned horse head out in the middle of her ranch. Actually, one of the ranch hands finds it, and they figure it's a sign from the mob telling her that, get off the land, we want it. This is a warning shot.
She's very angry in this issue too. Like she's pissed off.
Yeah, she's
That
very
I think she was attached to the horse and she doesn't like the idea of giving up her land and
She's very
that's
tough. She's
hers.
like, screw them, I'm not moving. I don't care what they do. And it was her horse that was
Well, even her
killed.
friend is a police like officer and she's like trying to say, well, get help from him and
Where's
he's pro
Border Patrol?
yeah border patrol and he's like why don't you just sell and just leave why don't you just sell and leave and she's like fuck you man. And then the other part of the story is very interesting because it's all in Spanish. It's about some guy that's cross trying to get across the border.
And he's from, was it Honduras?
Is he from Honduras?
I thought so.
I thought he was from Mexico.
No, because they showed like a map. Let me flip to that page. Now I can't find that page. Anyway, he's
This book got a lot of complaints because half the book you can't translate unless you want to translate. I had Barb read me some, but I don't think you need to know.
I
Like
think it's about a third of it. Here we go. Honduras.
you could tell you could kind of tell what's happening though, like through the art. You don't need to know.
And that was, I think that was his intent that, I mean, I wish he had put in the translation, but his intent, I think, was that if you went there, you wouldn't be able to understand it, and it's kind of, well, unless you spoke the language. So he's trying to capture the experience as it would actually happen in real life.
Yeah, and I complained about this, I think, 3 years ago when Tom King or 4 years ago did it with Omega Man. Like, it really bugged me. But the difference is between this and Tom King's Omega Man was he would have a 9-panel grid where an alien's talking
With just a talking head.
and just a talking head. This one, I could cut, you could get the story through the art.
And you could pick up certain words too, so you kind of can gather what they're. I mean, they're basically leaving. They're hopping on a train to get out of town to head for the border. So,
Yeah.
I did enjoy it as it is, but I would like to read the translation just to understand the character a little bit more. That's the one thing that you don't get is what this character is all about.
Right. I didn't know what happened to the girl that was with him, though. I thought there was a girl with him initially getting into the truck. And I didn't understand what
Know
happened.
what happened to her? I don't
Yeah.
remember.
But there was a lot of complaints, the people that read it at the time about not being able to have like brackets around it and say translated from Spanish or something.
That was
But
definitely a conscious decision on their part. But I mean, I'm guessing that there's sites out there that have all the translation. I haven't looked it up yet.
let me Google it. I want to know if that's the case.
I can't imagine that it would not be.
I don't want to lose that web page. I was on the Night Girl Wikipedia because I want to buy her first appearance. So, Barry.
You want to buy what? I got distracted.
Translation.
I'm trying to find what happened to the girl because she's with the girl. Then you like they run like different directions.
Is there a translation on the web of the Spanish? Absolutely. Wait, what? Where is it? The intent is to be able to catch the few words and guess from the context. It makes you pay attention in a different kind of way by giving you an unusual reading experience. Don't skip those parts. Give it a try or click together as the story continues. Google Translate is always, well, yeah, if you want to sit there and type in all that
type
shit.
In each one. So that's actually interesting. So I'm on the page where he and the girl split up and they have like an argument. So that page would be interesting to see
what they were arguing about.
What they were talking about, yeah. Because they're together, and she asks him something. He says,
wait,
yeah.
Let me bring the expertise in here. Okay, Barb, I need you to translate just a couple of panels for us in general.
And it's right before the halfway point.
If you can. We kind of want to know what these two are arguing about.
It's the page right before the middle.
Trying to find it before the middle of the book.
Yeah, go to the very middle, and it's the page before that, the two pages before that.
Oh, in the rain.
Yeah, in the rain there.
Can you kind of give us the gist of what's happening on this page? Both of them. Okay, I got my translator here.
It's an exclusive.
Yeah. And Barb's pretty good at translating. I would not ask my mom. I did my mom one time, and I don't remember who posted it, but I was like, I'm sorry you lost your pet or something like that to somebody. And it was like,
not even close.
Not even close. I'm like, what are you saying, Mom?
Because they're at the water and it's when he's going to swim across. So it may be that she can't swim or something. I don't know. Something about north.
She's
going north.
She's translating. Just give her a bit.
Okay. She'll
figure out this is good radio right here.
He says, good something, my love. I'm going to Mexico. What?
We just kind of want to know why they're arguing about, because they separate.
He says,
as they're
Oscar,
trying to cross the border.
You're an asshole. See you later. What a dick.
Oh,
Here, I'll translate. Barb's taking too long.
So your translation is, I can't swim. It says,
here,
but we need to go.
Here, I'll start.
All right.
They're coming after us. Yes. I'm going this way. I'm going back to Guatemala where we'll be safe. No, we have to go to the Andes. This is our only opportunity. We got to continue north. Fine, I'll come with you, but I'm scared. Don't be scared. It's just a giant river we have to cross. You can do it, my love.
But I can't
swim. No, I can't swim. We have to go to Mexico through the water. What? Oscar, you're a dick. See you later.
That's good enough.
What an ass. There we go.
Did you get anything out of it or no?
How close was I? I think I'm pretty close.
She's worried about the Guatemalans.
Something about... I need to look up Baratos.
She's looking up Baratos, the bandits.
Yeah, the Guatemalan bandits are after us.
The Guatemala bandits are after us.
Is that what it is?
I don't know. Bill translated it, and he's pretty close to what you're saying. Just from the drawings. Except he thinks she's afraid of the water, so he just dumps in. Cheap.
Well, I can get a couple words because there's Mexico and Aqui. That's water. So he's saying, and Saborio, is that swim? And then I want to find out what this means.
What is Saborio? Yeah. I guess it didn't work too well.
Well, don't
But
worry, I got your back.
you got my back.
Yes,
You're pretty close.
he's just saying this is my last opportunity.
He's saying something like it's my last opportunity.
And I have to continue north.
And I have to continue north.
I said, yeah, that's what I said, North.
Yeah. You did pretty good, Bill.
I just don't know what that last.
Why did he
I'm not
dive
sure
into
about.
the
I don't think she's
water?
calling him an asshole, though. That's the one thing I think I'm wrong about. What does this mean? Saramal.
Why does she go with him? She doesn't trust somebody, but she's not reading it in context either. Because there's all those pages before with the guy with tattoos. Do you know what I mean? She's reading this out of context.
So basically, he was with this woman, and he decided to swim across to Mexico, but she didn't for some reason. And then the Guatemalan bandits got
What does
her.
the bottom mean? Sorella mule. When she just. Good
I
luck.
couldn't find it either. Google Translate just translated it as Malay.
Damn.
It's not French, though. Hang on.
They want us to not
To
know.
not know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm reading articles here. Brian K. Vaughan is. He says that's part of the discovery of the. Like, he's trying to create that experience. It's almost like you're witnessing it.
Right, if you
And
were there watching
if
it,
you were there watching it, you still
you
wouldn't
wouldn't know
know
what
what
the
they were
hell they're talking
saying.
about.
You would see their gestures and their movement. See, I thought they were a couple. Or they were at least.
Yeah, I think they
On the
know each
road for
other.
together, yeah. That's where I got confused. That's the only part I agree. That was the only part I wanted to understand. Everything else you kind of knew.
Yeah, I get that he's doing this journey to America and he wants to get away. But yeah, the dynamics of what happens, I'd like to know to learn what kind of guy he is.
I'll have Barb read it the entire thing, and then see if she could tell me what the gist of it is.
But I like it. I like it enough to, I'm going to read the whole thing.
Storage-wise, though, it could potentially bend in a short box. Potentially, just because of the extra
I don't think it was that
length.
tall, is it?
Well,
I
it's
mean,
another inch.
boxes are pretty tall, though.
True, it should give enough leeway.
You
Mine
figure
have
that they had to have planned that it would still fit in a box. Unless they're just
Yeah.
dicks. Let's make it like a quarter of an inch taller than a box.
It's just the bag and board doesn't work too well. Because they're meant to flip, the plastic is meant to flip over and you can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have to use a bigger bag.
Or you could, if you board it, the board isn't long enough to.
Right. It doesn't go up the whole way.
Yeah. I gave Maul 5 out of 5. I gave this one a 5 out of 5 as well.
Don't remember what I gave Maul. I think I gave it a 4 out of 5. Barrier of 5 out of 5.
I
But yeah,
liked
they're I
Maul
mean
more.
they're I like them about the same. I like them both. They're both really good. Hey, Barb will also doesn't she want to read this? Isn't she a huge BKV fan?
What did you read from BKV?
Didn't she read like
The one where he was a superhero? I think she started the Wildstorm one. El Ex Machina.
Didn't she read Why the Last Man?
Oh, she read Why the Last Man. That's right. She read Ex
Yeah,
Machina
Ex
and Why the Last
Machina.
Man.
Yeah, there
I
you
don't think
go.
she finished Ex Machina. I think she started Ex Machina. And then the other thing she read is DMZ, Brian Wood.
This one's only 5 issues, so.
Yeah. This is his book. Brian K. Vaughan, the guy who wrote those two books. And then if you read them, you could. It's not coming out in trade. A matter of fact, it was digital first, and he just decided to put this on print. Just read the damn issue. What the fuck does it matter if you have to open through four bags? Just read it, woman. And then you will sit there and enjoy it. We are not going to eat with your uncle. We are going to sit down and read The Barrier. When you're done translating it, we can go eat with your uncle. We could take this comic book to your uncle.
There you go.
Maybe Bill will loan me the trade.
Okay, this is what I'm taking this comic book to the restaurant. We're going to translate this sucker.
Had to all eat.
Yeah.
Like, no one is eating their meal until this book gets translated.
Hey, wait, don't get your cornbread all over and butter all over it. Yeah. True. I'll just take it to Albuquerque with me. I'll have lots of people to translate. Have my mom translate it. She can get the complete context out of everything wrong.
He's looking for his pet that ran away.
He's looking for his dog. They're arguing, they're waiting for the puppy. What are you talking
The
about?
puppy went on the train, and they're going on the train.
Okay, let me just knock out Shadow Roads, which you should have got.
Okay, why should I have gotten it? Even though I haven't read Sixth Gun.
This isn't Six Gun. I don't even see the link.
There a gun in it?
Well, it takes place in London, England, and there's a Native American guy that has this like white friend, and they're going through a museum talking about Native American history, and he's getting very angry, and some guy gives him a knife, like he's like an old Native American gives him a knife and says, "This is a message, it's a gift." And what's the message? And he says, "Go home." So now you're in New Mexico, and there's two like hired mercenaries riding horses together, and one of them's telling him, "Why are you doing this? You shouldn't even deal with this. You're gonna get killed." They're just riding together. The one guy's not gonna get involved, and the other guy says, "Well, I'm on a mission. I gotta do this." Well, it's mixing supernatural, and I think the Sixth Gun did too. I don't remember, but it's
I guess
mixing.
it's the spiritual successor, so I guess it's not.
Yeah, so you should have read it.
It takes place in the world after the Sixth Gun series, but I think that's the only tie to it.
But I will say that
So I should have read it. Damn it.
I saw her drawing some of the stuff at the. Like I would hang out at her table because she did a commission for me. She did Ultra Boy, and she was drawing characters from this comic. And she draws a. In this comic, there's like this beautiful lady with a gun, very sophisticated. And she was drawing her when she was at the table, and it was a beautiful piece of art. And well, anyway, these bandidos. Mercenaries are riding together, and he's looking for a little girl that was traveling with like a circus, what do they call it, trooper, and they find each other. And then this one has, have you ever seen a European road trip, Euro trip?
Oh, no, I have not.
Well, there's go to my Facebook page and watch the piece about the Scoozy, but there's a scene in here where they go through these tunnels, and in Eurotrip, They do the same thing, except it's nasty shit that happens. But in this one, they go through these tunnels, and there's these like supernatural dogs or wolves that start attacking. And this girl saves these two, the Native American and white guy that are traveling together in London. And then this guy teams up with a little girl, and they said, you know, we have to join forces to kill these demons. So yeah, it's like two different factions of people are on opposite ends of the world waiting to fight these demons, but one of them's heading back to New Mexico, I think. So yeah, I liked it, and plus I got to know the creators quite a bit, so or two of the creators anyway, the colorist
Yeah,
and the
so that makes
artist.
it more special. I didn't realize this was co-written by Cullen Bunn and Brian Hurt. I thought it was just Cullen Bunn.
Yeah,
Did they both?
Brian Hurt was at the convention.
Did they do Six Gun together, or was that just?
They did Six Gun together, yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I wish I had gotten the free Comic Book Day version, because then I could decide if I like it or not.
It's good. You could probably read it on Comixology for free.
I'll have to look it up.
A lot of the free Comic Book Day stuff are available digitally.
Let's see. I'm gonna look it up right now. Shadow Roads. Shadow Roads.
I know issue one came out and I missed it, so I have to track it down. I didn't pre-order it.
Looks like all they have is issue number one. They don't have the free Comic Book Day one.
I know another person that liked it enough that he's trying to track it down too, is Rob.
Now, is
Your
issue one the same as the Free Comic Book Day? That's the question.
that I don't know. Let me go to Comixology and then I'll look at it and I'll see if a page looks.
Oh, yeah, you can see what's inside.
Yeah.
It's a great feature.
Shadow Roads. They've done that in the past.
Yeah, and that could be
I actually think Oni's done that.
That would be a reason not to have the free Comic Book Day version on Comixology.
Yeah, this is the same thing.
Okay, so it is the number one.
Yeah.
So I had to buy it now, is what you're saying.
But you could at least look at the art style. You could see what's inside.
That's true. I could read the first three pages and see if it grabs my me.
Yeah. Grabs you.
Grabs my.
That's interesting, though. I don't have to track down number one now.
That's right. You could just start at number two. Now, does that bother you that you have Free Comic Book Day and then number two, or do you need that number one?
No, it doesn't bother me.
Okay.
Barrier, I did get both versions. But this one, it.
You don't feel the
I
need?
don't feel the need. A matter of fact, I had put it on my shopping cart for the next my comic shop order, and I'm gonna take it off now.
Hey, tell Barb that I'm saving you money.
Yeah.
Tell her. Tell her.
No, you didn't save me money. I went and looked.
I'm saving you money. Whew. Thank goodness. I've saved the day once again.
But I did get number two. I put it on my order, my last DCBS order. And I did that primarily because I met the cre you know I met Ariel and Nick,
Yeah, and want to
who's
support.
listed as Carlos, but I guess he went by his middle name, Nick. So yeah, that was very enjoyable.
I will read the first three pages.
But you could have gotten number one for free.
Could have got it for free, but I didn't. Because I don't get enough Free Comic Book Day comics.
But I gotta tell Rob this. This is good. I'm gonna make myself a note. So after the episode, send a note to Rob.
Well, he should be listening, so he should know
Oh,
already.
but he might have already
By
tried
the
to
time he
seek out number
listens,
one.
yeah.
Yeah.
That is true. He's not listening live. He has not paid that Patreon level where you get to listen in to to the live recording.
Yeah.
On
So those
mute.
are the free comic books, and they were my favorite, which is cool. That's a cool thing.
Yeah, well done to those publishers.
And Cul-de-Sac was one of my favorites, but I had read it a while back. But we could talk about it.
Let's talk about Cul-de-Sac.
You read it.
The digital comic. Let me find my... let me see if I made a note about it. So this is a anthology by Andrew... What's his name?
Shaw.
Andrew Shaw, that's it.
He's the writer. And the artist, I'll have to look up because I don't remember his name. And I'm not prepared. And that's what I hate about digital comics.
I know, it's not in your stack.
Yeah.
What? I can't find my notes. Maybe I didn't make any notes. I'll have to go free. I'll have to free ball it. Let me pull it up here. So this is
Andrew Shaw
yeah,
and
so
Will Playdon.
Yes.
Yes.
Will Playdon.
And it's from Shawill Comics.
Shawill Comics. And I know that this takes place in Australia, if I'm not incorrect.
Yeah, in the 50s. So think Leave It to Beaverish world.
And this is also a horror anthology.
With connecting themes.
Yeah, it's interesting because, well, it's Cul-de-Sac, so it kind of all takes place in this same neighborhood.
This book captured a lot of, like, themes that I'm scared of. I had told Martin...
I think that's the goal.
Well, I told Martin that I gave him my top five things that freak my shit. One of them was Donald Trump, but that doesn't... he doesn't show up in this issue.
That should scare everyone's shit.
freaks my shit. One of them's being buried alive, and this one has...
I hate that.
This one has an aspect of it. A matter of fact, I was watching an episode. I'm behind a season on Gotham. And there is a scene where Commissioner Gordon is buried alive by Leslie Tompkins. And it is so claustrophobic. I had to look away. I was like, Barb, I can't take this. This is awful. And another one that did that is a movie called Serpent in the Rainbow, which was about voodoo, sort of.
'80s.
Yeah. And that had some buried alive kind of stuff. That's always freaked my shit. The other one.
I'm not good with that stuff either.
This one kind of has a theme in one of the stories like that. It is like, what if you're building a bomb shelter and you accidentally lock yourself in with no way out? Like, you put your family in there, and yes, it's well stocked, but the bomb never came down, and you're stuck down there with no way of communicating outward, and there's no way to get out.
Yeah, which it's interesting because that's really no different than if the bomb did go off, you'd still be in the same situation, right?
Yeah.
And you'd still be stuck down there, but just psychologically, it's different.
Psychologically, it's like being buried alive because you know that the world is not destroyed. Like, if you could somehow, like, make your mind think, yeah, the bomb came down, this is what it is. But let's say, like, you could... What was the movie called? Like, Cloverfield? The one with John Goodman? Did you watch that?
Yeah, with the girl in the bunker.
That has a similar theme to that, because they were in the bunker, and you didn't know if everything was okay outside. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you didn't know if he was full of shit or if it really was.
Yeah, that's what one of these stories deals with.
It's also like that, what was that one series? The one with, I can't remember the name of the series now, but they did a movie version of it where it was, what's his name? It was the guy who was going crazy, or like sanitarium or something, where the guy was, he was in a bomb shelter and he kept hearing like people knocking on the door telling him that it was okay to
Oh
come out,
yeah, that
but
was
he
an
didn't trust them.
that was an anthology too. Sanitarium was from some publisher that I don't even remember, and I don't even think I have the third issue. Like Sanitarium.
Yeah, because that story was a guy.
This was from Diablo Publishing. We both read it.
And it was a guy who, he was a scientist, and he built this bomb shelter, and he was convinced that the world had ended, but then he kept hearing like scratching and stuff on the door, and he wouldn't open it because he didn't know who it was.
Yeah.
And then they're calling to him, telling him to come out, but he doesn't trust them.
I remember we read this, and this thing was supposed to be three issues, and only two came out, I think.
Yeah, I don't know.
I only have the first two. It's from Diablo Publishing in 2014. But I
Yeah,
don't know.
that was another anthology. So this one, so man, what do you think of the art in this?
Oh God, it's beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
You know,
It's like a paint, like a
what I
digital art.
picture this format to be in? Like a square bound, like DC type deluxe format. Like this is what I picture. The other stories kind of deal with one of the other things that freak my shit. The other thing that scares me is parasites. And there's two themes in this book. In the first story, kind of like where the guy loves his roses and that's like his passion, and he ends up killing everything in his house, including his wife, to keep the roses alive.
To feed his roses.
Yeah. It's like something's in his brain, like doing this. And then there's another story with the spiders and the guy.
Yeah, that's where a guy gets like a tiki or something in the mail.
Yeah.
Little
But
does he know there's spiders in it.
okay, I had sent this to Martin. he was asking for questions to try to win a print copy of this. And I did win a copy, by the way, so thank you, Nerdy Legion. Thank you, Andrew and Will, for sending Martin copies, which I kind of hooked them up anyway, because Andrew asked me and I was like, well, Martin does this show and he's more catered to doing this kind of thing,
Doing interviews.
where I'm not. I'm not good for interviews. I'm good to talk about my passions, but I told Martin what I'm scared of is like parasites, like parasitology. When you have like weird medical
Which
problems,
is ironic because that's like one of your wife's favorite things.
yeah, my wife likes that, but she gets me scared. Like, I'm in the lake with Knutson, right? And I'm having the time of my life. And she's like, do you know that there's these parasites in the water that get into your brain and they can kill you? And I'm
Flesh
like,
eating parasites in
you
the
talk
water.
about like eating, and there was, like, I think it was, she told me, like, it was
Yeah,
like
that summer there was like a
ten, ten,
breakout of
yeah, ten
stuff
miles, ten
happening.
miles away from where we were swimming or something like that. Maybe it was 30. Some kid had that happen in a
Yeah,
lake.
brain eating parasites in the
Brain
water.
eating parasite. So I am really scared of like parasites, like parasitologies. There was a show she used to watch called The Monsters Inside Us, and it's a documentary about true parasites and what they've done to people and how like medical science isn't really prepared for most of it, because they treat you based on probabilities. And the probability of it being a parasite is very low. So by
Right.
the time they medically treat you
By the time they
for
figure out it's a
they figure
parasite,
out what it is, it's too late.
it's already eaten half your brain.
Right. And then so like I am she used to watch that Monsters Inside Us, and I used to just have nightmares. I scare the shit out of me. So that was one of the things that scared the shit out of me.
Wow, so they're hitting on all your
Yeah,
fears.
the other thing that scares the crap out of me is spiders. I really am afraid of spiders. Like and that's the thing that Barb loves too. So Barb loves the parasitology,
Right.
and she loves spiders. So Barb's theory is she wants to keep the spiders alive because they kill insects. Like they're
Yeah,
a
they're good.
big part of our, and she feels the same way about snakes. And I'm okay with snakes. Snakes don't bother me. I don't like rattlesnakes, but I don't mind
I
them
don't like
because they don't,
rattlesnakes.
they don't mind me. Do you know what I mean? But
Yeah,
spider,
little
it's
snakes.
different
Yeah.
because spiders are in my house. Okay, we've had black widows, we've had all
Oh,
kinds of other
that.
things, recluse. I don't know what the hell. We've had all kinds of crazy shit, and I want to kill them. Like I'll kill them. And I when
I
I
would
really
kill a black widow.
when I get really scared is when I'm not prepared for the spider. In other words, I don't have a shoe on. I'm walking barefoot. I don't have a magazine that I can, like, I won't grab a comic book and
Know, though
snatch it.
you're only surrounded by comics. There's nothing I can't kill.
Yeah, it has to be like a People magazine or something that's like a sacrifice.
I understand.
If it's a previews magazine, I'll
You
do
don't
it.
hate him that much.
I don't hate him that much. I will not sacrifice a comic book for a spider. And this had that spider theme, so I don't know if these guys are in tune with my biggest fears, but they sort of hit a lot of the themes that terrify me, especially. And living in a cul-de-sac is scary too. I think one of these themes of this whole cul-de-sac thing is, do you really know your neighbors? And the truth is, we don't.
You know what's do you know what's going on behind closed doors?
Barb, just tell me you're here live on Geek Brunch. I'm doing the Lord's work. Okay. Yes, that's saying my package is going to be delivered on Tuesday. Thank you, Barb, for that live update. I should be able to. They keep it longer than FedEx, by the way. It's like 7 business days. So I could still pick it up on Saturday and be okay. But yeah, I really dug this book.
Yeah, me too. I enjoyed it.
And it's interesting because in the one story that sort of links them all together is kind of like a nuclear explosion, right? Oh no, it's the one with the scientist with the core breach.
Yeah, where
And
she's
that and then what actually happens at the end is it links in all that story. Like
Yeah.
the bomb does go off, so maybe those people are okay. The family of bats that eat their children. It was really good. You know what the spiders coming out of that guy reminded me of is Tales from the Dark Side movie, or was it Tales from the Crypt? There's a scene where the roaches like come outside of his body, and that's always freaked me out. So they've dealt with a lot of themes that I'm
A lot of
scared
stuff
of.
that scare
Yeah.
you.
What
Yeah.
are some of the stuff that scares you?
I don't like I share your fear of like tight spaces.
And that's even bothered me, like doing cave exploration, like with the headlight.
Yeah, I've never done a cave exploration because I'm afraid of what my reaction might
No,
be.
but I have, and there was literally one spot that was so tight. I got a little freaked out. And the other time was during an MRI when I was getting an MRI on my shoulder because it kept popping out of its socket. And they positioned my elbow so it was facing straight up. So my elbow was touching the top of the MRI
Of the
machine.
machine, yeah.
And I couldn't. And when you're in the MRI machine, you
And you
have to
can't
stay
move.
absolutely still.
So you're trapped and
Oh, and
confined
it was
by the
awful
machine.
because my feet were hanging outside, so that was my saving grace, right? Well, I didn't realize that I was distorting the scan by moving my feet and moving my toes, but I was. So like we got through one and he goes, "Oh shit, I'm gonna have to restart this machine because you were moving your feet." And I was just starting to freak out. And you feel like a you fill a form out because they can give you something before you go into the machine. And it said, "Are you claustrophobic?" And I said, "No." But I should have said yes. I should have said yes. I
Dope
thought,
me up.
yeah, it's dope me up. It freaked me out, man. It freaked me out. I'm really
Yes.
scared of tight spaces and being buried alive. It freaks me out.
And one of the things when I was like really when I was young, when I was a kid, they had that show Emergency.
Yeah,
Remember that show?
I do remember that show. It came up on Facebook a couple times recently.
There was one episode where a woman was caught under her house. Like
Yeah.
there's like a little space and she was going in to get her cat or something and she got stuck under there. Oh man, that episode freaked the shit out of me. That freaked me out.
Well, there
That
was
was my
a
worst fear.
there was a real life situation where a kid, okay, he was like a soccer player, I think he was, or it was lacrosse or something. I can't remember. It was some kind of sport, and he was a teenager, so you're in high school and you can drive, right? And he got into the back seat and he was trying to get his stick or the ball. I can't remember what it was. And he had crawled over and he got stuck. And he had his phone and he tried to call out and he did get out to some places, but it wasn't in time. But he like crushed something in his so he couldn't breathe.
Ooh.
But by trying to crawl over to the seat. So by the time his parents got there and the emergency crews got there, he was dead.
Sheesh.
So it was like a tight
Yeah, it was
spot where
too.
this height and this really happened. I was like, I read this story and I was like, holy shit, what a horrible way to die. And the other thing that it
So
freaks my
was it compressing his chest so much that he just couldn't like take a
yeah,
deep
it
breath?
compressed his chest so much
Or
that he couldn't
he couldn't get
breathe.
enough air in.
And
Man, that freaks me out.
his phone was there, but he couldn't like, I guess he could only dial out to like who he had on his call list, or I think he dialed 911, but I don't know why they couldn't they were able to geolocate him, but because of
That's
the
wild.
phone, but it took too long because
Yeah.
his respiratory, he couldn't breathe.
Yeah, he
So it's
just
almost
ran
like
out
you
of
lost your
oxygen.
breath. He ran out of oxygen by the time they got there. And I think they got there pretty late. Like we're talking like 45 minutes after it happened.
Yeah, so even if he lasted half an hour of those,
I don't even think he lasted
eventually.
that long. I think it was 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Or, it's just, it
Oh, 10
was.
minutes. That's an eternity.
Yeah.
Just trapped.
Like,
Can't
and
breathe.
I did see a horror movie which had this theme. It wasn't the greatest horror movie, but it's being trapped underneath water with sharks, and it's called 48 Feet Under. And that also got me, like.
I don't think I've heard of that one.
Yeah, it's on Netflix, so if you have that, you can probably watch it. Do you have Netflix? I can't remember if it's Amazon Prime.
Netflix.
Yeah, look it up. It's like 48 Feet Under. I watched it on the plane on the way over, and it's about two sisters. One sister got dumped by her boyfriend because she's
So,
like.
you watched a movie about being trapped in a closed space when you're on an
Yeah.
airplane. Perfect.
The airplane even got me a little bit scared because I had this huge guy next to me. He was very polite, but he was big. And I'm in the middle seat all the time because Barb gets the window. And what I really prefer is the aisle seat because I don't have someone on my left and someone on my right. Like I feel like it can move.
Yeah, so Melanie likes the center or the
Yeah. It's like that's my ideal seat is the aisle because I feel like I can move, like there's no blockage. But
Yeah,
in the
if you
middle
needed to,
seat,
you could be up in a moment's notice.
yeah, I feel a little tight. It feels a little tight and uncomfortable for 3 hours to be trapped. So that cul-de-sac was it brought out a couple of my fears, so it was really interesting.
Yeah, and the art was awesome. Fantastic painted art. The only thing, I don't think it's on Comixology, though, is it?
No, it will be though. There,
Okay.
Martin interviewed them, and it sounded like they were in the process of doing the scans, you know, the require whatever format you have to
Yeah,
do.
the proper format
Yeah,
for.
they were prepping it.
Okay.
So the whole thing was that like Martin was gonna offer this thing, like if you were the contest, that he would offer him on Comixology. Well, I think he's still gonna do that when it comes on Comixology. But they sent him some print copies, and I actually got one, so I'll be real interested to see. I like print so much that
Of
this
course.
digital experience is just not quite what I want. So yeah, when I knew there was a contest, I entered it because it was for print, and I won. So
You
yay.
won. You're a winner. Congratulations. I'm sure you'll enjoy your
So
print copy.
this is kind of like a Twilight Zone Tales from the Crypt type anthology, but it has an underarching theme. And a lot of these stories are driven by the art too. In other words, Andrew's telling the story, but he wants to tell it. He wants to capture it with as few words as possible.
Yeah, some of them were almost silent stories.
Yeah.
Just not completely, but yeah, there was a lot that was just art driven. Good stuff.
Yes, enjoyed it very much. Thank you, Andrew, for sending us a copy and letting us review it. So, that one I gave a 5 out of 5 to because I liked it a lot. And the art is just freaking holy moly. It's almost like I said, it's like art that was in those deluxe formatted painted editions. That's why I think this would be great in that format. I don't think there's enough pages to have a square bound, but it sure feels like that. My favorite story is obviously the claustrophobic one. That's the one that I like the most in this.
Yeah, that was the best one.
And the second one, I like the first one, the one with the guy
Oh, the
and
guy
the
in the.
roses. Yeah. He just lost his shit.
Don't know what my next favorite was. Probably the last one, the scientist and the time travel.
Yeah. That's what linked them all together, right?
Yeah,
Sort
the end of
of.
it did, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so what else we got? We
I'm
have
noti
eight.
I just noticed we have a lot of Aftershock books.
Yeah, and we haven't covered any of them.
I think we have four Aftershock books. I don't know how that
I thought
happened.
three.
Maybe I just put another one in my pile that we're not going to talk about.
All
Are we going to
right.
talk about her infernal descent?
I didn't have that on our list.
Okay. I just grabbed it.
But if you
Apparently.
save it, I will cover it next time.
Okay. So we have three Aftershocks. A Garth Ennis book, a Cullen Bunn book, and a Sean Lewis book.
You know which one was my favorite?
I'm gonna get, yeah, I know because I saw it on Facebook.
Okay.
Is it Betrothed?
Yes,
Betrothed?
I liked it. I liked it a lot.
My favorite was, I don't know. I think Betrothed was my least favorite.
Wow, we're on opposite ends
Then
of
my
the
most favorite
spectrum.
was, I don't know, I like both Brothers Dracul and A Walk Through Hell.
Brothers Dracul felt like historical fiction, so I kind of liked it.
It was very historical fiction.
That one I liked a lot for that. Betrothed I liked a lot just because I think the themes and the execution were very good. Again, it had like an 80s type John
You
Hughes
know,
film at the beginning.
it kind of,
And
I'm
then
actually kind of surprised that you liked Betrothed as much as you did because
because of the art style, I bet.
no, not the art style, just the whole concept is very like out of anime.
That's what I was saying. The art style is anime. I thought the story was pretty grounded. It's about two fighting factions, and in order to make peace, the Romeo and Juliet kind of story.
But the whole being descendants from the, having the powers of the ancient race or whatever is a very anime thing to do.
I don't know that because I don't watch enough anime.
Well, maybe this is your segue into
I just know that Vicious Smith tried to get me an anime way back in the day, and he
He did.
recommended everything to
I mean,
me,
way
and
back in the
I
day, he
tried
still
like
does, doesn't
five things and I was like, this is awful. I can't take it. I did the same thing with manga and didn't enjoy it. So it is so different to me. Like, it is just, it's not something
too
my,
different, yeah.
well, it's not my brain doesn't, I get it. I get the stories. It's not like I don't understand the stories. I just don't like the style and the presentation,
Yeah.
and it throws me off. Like,
Which
everybody's
is
brain works
fine.
differently, and
Well,
I
and it's
just don't.
like there's some books that are just, I call them too young for me, where, or the, like, and I don't mean young as in for kids, I mean young as in the younger generation that I don't
Yeah.
really get into, that are, because there's a certain style, I don't know, style choices, I guess, that are
Yeah,
made that are
like a po
popular
a
with.
po a Pokemon type thing versus.
No, not even Pokemon, just like some stuff that I didn't like gosh, I can't think of stuff, like Lumberjanes or
See, I like Lumberjanes.
Kim and Kim or whatever.
Oh, Kim and Kim, I didn't like.
Yeah, stuff like that where there's like, I don't know, pop references and just, I don't know, there's something about that style and the style choices made in those that's really popular with the younger crowd. That perhaps I'm just too old. It's not that I don't get it. I understand it completely. It just doesn't really appeal to me. You know what I mean? So I think it's the same kind of thing. It's just the tropes that are common to those styles just don't click with us for
Well,
some reason.
for me, when I opened up the book and I saw the art style of Betrothed, I was like, I'm not gonna like this. Like, my brain already had
Yeah, because it's,
it
well,
had
yeah,
or
the very first page, his hair is like kind of
well,
Goku
it had already set me in that mode that I'm not gonna enjoy this. And
hair.
maybe that was a
You'll
maybe
like
that
it
was
then.
no wait, maybe that was a good thing because
Your expectations were so low.
it immediately set my expectations are like, I'm not gonna like
You're
this.
like, oh my God, how am I going to
And
make
then
it
I
through?
started reading the story and I got into it and started feeling it that I was like happily surprised that I liked it so much, you know? It could have had the opposite effect just because it presentation kind of turned me off. But I've always liked that theme of like Romeo and Juliet, like this that's what this is. It's
Yeah,
like
it's two people who find their, it was like their first day of school or something, and they see each other, and there's some kind of spark between them, and they don't know what it is, and then they, by the end, they learn that they're the next in line to rule their clans.
well, I like that it's like his first day of school, and all he did was like, she's popular, right? She's like head of the cheerleading team and all kinds of stuff. And he just taps her on the shoulder, and she just beats the fuck out of him. And it's kicks
Oh,
the shit
yeah,
out of him.
and she doesn't know why.
Yeah, and she doesn't understand why that happened. That already had sold me. Like, I was like, that's interesting. Like, I don't understand what kicked that off in her. And even her friends were like, what's the matter with you? The kid just was trying to find directions to his classroom or something, and you beat the crap out of him. And I liked the it had like a good timing of humor to me that felt like very like a John Hughes film. Like just like the guy's friend or the guy that hooks up with him, he had like some witty responses, and I thought the timing was just perfect for that kind of thing. And then it kind of flips it on its ass because then you're like, okay, another world, these two people are descendants of a king and queen, if you will. And it's sort of like they have to marry to keep peace or something. I don't know. I liked what it was.
Cool. And I do like Sean Lewis. I'm trying to remember what he did. He did that one recently with the Coyotes or something like that.
If that was the image one,
Yeah, Coyotes, and he did Saints,
I did not
which
like
I like.
Saints. Matter of fact, I stopped it.
I like Saints. I haven't.
But
I need to read the whole thing though.
I don't think I've read Coyotes. I was thinking you were thinking of She-Wolf, and that was the one I didn't care for. But that's that Rich Tomasi guy or
Yeah, that's
whatever.
Rich Tomasi. Yeah, no, Coyotes is about what were they? I'm trying to remember. It was something in it was either Mexico or near there, like Texas maybe near the border, where there's some gangs and drug runners and stuff, but then there's a certain people in the group are. They call them coyotes, but I think they're more kind of like werewolves almost.
Yeah, I should read that because I like this one, so we'll see where that lands.
I'm surprised by that. I'm still surprised.
Surprised that I didn't like Saints?
No, I'm surprised that you liked Betrothed.
Well, there you go. I'm also surprised that the one I like least was a Garth Ennis book.
Well, let's talk about that then. A Walk Through Hell. I liked this one.
I liked it, but I didn't understand it. I even read the first part like over and over again. Like I get what they're getting at. Like it's a terrorist attack in like a shopping mall. And what I got is that the wife was Asian, so I guess she was targeted.
I don't think she was necessarily targeted, but that's what's interesting. Yeah, so it opens with
It
the
implied she was targeted.
well, sort of. So it opens with there's a shooting at this wherever they were, this mall, and it's a single shooter, and he's going around and he kills a bunch of people, and then the first person he kills is like. This dude's wife and child, yeah, and she's Asian. And then they show a bunch of like Twitter comments
Yes.
regarding the shooting. And I thought that the Twitter stuff was pretty interesting because the
It's so
yeah,
pertinent to what you see on Twitter and the responses
it was
today.
totally something you would actually see on Twitter where someone was saying that this is completely a racial issue because the first person that was killed was a Asian woman, but then they're saying, "No, you're just, you social justice warriors are always
Yeah.
looking for something." It's like he was just killing a bunch of people and just happened to be a an Asian woman.
Yeah.
So then there's this big argument on Twitter about it, and then they jump to. But then there's like during the shooting, there's captions where you learn later it's the this man and male and female who are on in the are they in the FBI, I guess? Who are
Yes, they're in the
commenting on the shooting because they were they're
They're
assigned.
either FBI or some kind of detective stuff.
Yeah, there's some kind of agents of something. And then there's a, and then they have, well, it starts where they have lunch with like a couple of other agents and they're talking about the shooting. And then they start talking about the one guy really doesn't like Donald Trump.
Yeah.
But then they get an assignment where agents have gone into this one building, like at the docks or something, and haven't come and went missing. So they need to go investigate.
Well, didn't all that SWAT team go in too? And they
Yeah, they
end
get
up like.
there. Yeah, they get there, and there's a SWAT team van there, and they're like, "Aren't the SWAT team going to go in? Why are they just sitting there?" Because they're
Yeah.
all the van. And they're like, "They did go in. They were in there for like a minute, and they came out, and they went back in their truck, and they said it was the scariest shit they ever saw, and they're not going back in.
Yeah.
And then the guy, and then it shows the SWAT team in there, and weren't they saying something like, he's coming and there's no way they can stop him or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, the agents go in.
But what is with the woman's dreams? Like the one female detective agent?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember she was asleep and she kept on? Is she somehow related to that event? Or I was so confused by that. And the other thing that threw me off is when they have the two FBI people, it's almost like there was no introduction to them. And you're just like right in the middle of the conversation. Do you know what I mean? It's like, here you are.
Yeah, there's the definitely
situation.
Yeah, it definitely, I mean, it started in the, when they were on their way to,
it's like you're watching
to lunch.
You're watching a movie, and in a movie, to me, you could get away with it a little bit more because you have 2 hours of stuff to build on. But in a single issue, it was just difficult for me to really understand what was happening in it, even though I got the gist. Like,
yeah, for sure there's a lot of stuff going on, and you don't get the full picture of any of it yet. So we don't really know everything about these agents yet. We don't know the connection of the shooting at the beginning to anything. We don't know why there's a lot of discussion about the state of society and social media yet.
Yeah.
We don't know what the woman's dreams are about. Because they never actually show the dream, right? She just has, like, she's having some kind of nightmare.
I when I read it, I was confused because I didn't know if it was, like, linking the first event to that. Like, I was really confused about it. Like, what?
Yeah,
the...
right. Yeah, that's what I think. That's what we're missing now.
It was like a piece of the puzzle. It was like there was a piece of the puzzle that I was missing, and I went back and reread the first scene. I didn't reread the whole book, but I reread the first scene to see if there was a link that I was missing between that and that female FBI agent, and I still couldn't grasp it. So
yeah, as of yet, there's no connection.
So my review of this is, God, I really enjoyed it. But man, I was having trouble following. Like, I don't think I got the gist of what Garth Ennis was trying to convey 100%. I think I got 80% of it, and I don't know if that's what his intent is. Like,
I don't think there is a way to know yet. I think that's what we'll find out. It's almost like he's juggling, right? And he's throwing a bunch of balls in the air, and we can understand each of the balls, but we don't see how they're gonna come together yet.
Yeah.
To make a pattern. I liked it. I thought that.
Oh, I liked it too.
It's Garth Ennis, so
I did not. I thought this was going to be a 5 out of 5 for me, and I gave it a 4 out of 5, which was a lower 4 out of 5 because I was confused.
What did I give it? Yeah, I gave it a 4 out of 5 as well.
So I'm a little harsher than you, but I think review wise, it's transparent.
I liked it though, and I don't want to spoil what happened to the SWAT team, but that freaked me out.
Yeah.
It was good. I liked it. It's creepy. I'm very excited to find out what's in that building that the FBI agents are going to find.
Yeah, a lot of this reading made me regret canceling some things in the previous month.
That lasted long.
God damn. I should just tell myself, just don't do it. Just be happy and just order fucking everything. I get like an anxiety. Like I am such a weird fucker. Like I want Amazing Spider-Man so bad and I didn't order it and I'm still trying to fight it, but I know what's going to happen. I'm going to go to the day of release on the comic shop and I'm going to buy it. And the same thing's going to happen with Cosmic Ghost, right? Oh, I'm going to wait. And the same damn fucking thing's going to happen. And I'm going to be back where I started. Just like every time you've been with this through me with a couple times, right? And I like last like what, 2-3 months. And then Then
Then
I'm
you're back
back up.
up.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh shit, I missed these. I'm gonna order them at my comic shop anyway. So it's like, why do I do it to myself? I don't know.
But I mean, this gives you the opportunity to. There are going to be some things that you don't want to get later that you decide not to get. So it saves you from getting 3 issues of. You're saving yourself 2 issues. So instead of getting 3 issues before finding out you don't like it, you're only getting one.
Yeah. So the next Aftershock book that we have is the Brothers Dracul
Brothers Dragoor.
from Colin Bunn, and this was like the historical fiction because it deals with Vlad Van Tripoff or whatever his name is. And I remember reading this character way back in. I was always fascinated with Universal Monsters, so I remember going to the library and. Elementary school, and anytime I had to do a report, I would want to do stuff on Universal Monsters and stuff. I'd go to the library and check out stuff, and I was always fascinated that the Dracula is fiction, but it's based on somebody that was real. I was always fascinated with that. And what this guy did is he put people on spikes, and he was considered a hero of his country. But people were terrified of him. Like he did those spikes for a reason. And it all the analogy that I would always make in my head is this is Doctor Doom, because Doctor Doom would always make Latveria, like the people of Latveria love him. It's the people that are outside of Latveria that are terrified of him. And there was a movie that came out, like, man. I think it was about 6 years ago called, was it Dracula? Or I can't remember what it was. But it went through the Vlad piece. Like it was toward like the historical
So it
fiction
was
and
more
how
historical. Yeah, I remember that one.
it was more how like historically how he became a vampire. Like it took the historical part and then it, half of the movie
Merged it with
Yeah,
the
half of the movie was the
fantasy.
historical part, and then he goes into a cave or something and meets the vampire that transforms him. And that was that movie. And this reminded me sort of that, except it introduced the concept of his the brother. And that movie also had that relationship between the father and son, like it does in this book, except there weren't two sons in the movie. Like he didn't have a brother in the movie. So it sort of reminded me of that, and I liked it. I've always been fascinated with Dracula.
Yeah, me too. I also like the historical fiction where they're taking pieces of history and merging it with fantasy.
Yeah.
So this one opens where it's in I guess the present day where Vlad's brother what was it Radu or Rambu or something like that
Yeah.
is re returning home Radu yeah is returning home after being away for years, and then they jump back to the past to show them how they were. What happened to them when they were kids? Because they were captured by a sultan and are take or, weren't they? They were like being raised to be like fighters, weren't they? Is that what it was?
The Sultan, he betrayed the Sultan, and then the Sultan, as
Right.
they had to go before the Sultan, and then the father was kind of like, "We're at your mercy. You were right. We were wrong. We went against you. Me and my sons are for you." And then he had his sons bow before him, and he's like, "Well, I'll let you slide this time, and you're free to go. But I'm gonna keep your sons." And your sons will be raised here. And he was actually training them like archery. He would train them to do stuff. And Vlad was real rebellious. The other son was being more, he was being assimilated into the environment around him. At least that's how I read it. And then the father went back.
Oh, did he? Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, he
Yeah.
did. And then there's a creature that's been killing people, and their challenge is to go fight this creature.
Yeah, and that's where it reminded me of that movie.
It's the Dracula in the cave.
I wish I knew what that movie was called, but did you ever see that the Wonder Woman Marston movie that came out? It's about the creator.
I don't
It was
think
real
so.
controversial because the family of the Marstons didn't approve it. Well, there's the actor that plays William Marston, and he was the vampire. He was the guy who played the vampire, and I can't remember. I think it was called Dracula Unbound. Let me
There
IMDb this.
was a Dracula Unbound.
I think that's the this is this
That's the one you're
this
thinking of.
comic book reminded me of Dracula Unbound. That's what it reminded me of. Did you see Dracula Unbound?
I never have.
You should watch it. 'Cause if you like that's what this is. Untold, Dracula
Oh,
Untold.
Untold. Yeah,
And
there it
it's
is.
Luke Evans is the guy who plays Vlad. It's pretty good because, like I said, half of it is the historical and half of it is the Dracula mythos. So that's what this is.
I never saw that. Didn't get very good reviews.
Yeah, but what do they know?
What do they know? I'll check it out. Yeah, I do like the historical. Yeah, so I like this one. I thought it was an interesting, it was very well written and very well done.
Vlad Tepes becomes a monster feared by his own people in order to obtain the power needed to protect his family and the families of his kingdom. So that's what this movie's about when he's threatened by the Turks. And the Turks were the Turks represent the Sultan that took his two sons. And
Right.
I think in Untold, the same sort of thing happened. Like this, Vlad had to go off with the Sultan where the father. Because the father tried to kill the Sultan is what happened in this movie. So there's similarities between this. Like I watch there's similarities in every comic we read to things, but I tend to like the things that I've liked in the past.
Right, and in this case, since they're both takeoffs of the historical happenings, then they're gonna have common roots, so that's understandable.
The Sultan in this movie too would take all like would take the boys of this the whole area, and he would turn them into soldiers for himself. And in this one, it made it a little different in that he took his sons, and then was turning them into warriors, probably for himself. Well, there's a scene where they actually have to find the vampire, and he's with the son of the Sultan. The two brothers are with the son of the Sultan, right?
In this one?
Yeah, when they go explore the cave, like they keep the soldiers behind and they said, "Well, we got to go on a mission." And they don't want to be on the mission with the he says, "Why is your father putting you with two slaves essentially?" And the boy never answers. So I don't know if like the father hates his son and he throws him with the slaves or if he's there for a reason to watch the boys, which I think it's he's there for a reason to watch the boys.
Yeah, I forgot that the son went in with them.
Yeah.
And it's almost, well, he's obviously using the brothers as protection. Or perhaps bait.
So I think we have. What did you give this one?
Think probably 4 out of 5.
Yeah, so did I. I actually didn't give anything a 3 out of 5, I don't think.
So let's go to our controversial book.
Ass to mouth?
asked him out.
This one was so fucking weird. And I'm not sure I got the gist of it either, but God bless was I entertained. I don't know what the fuck this book was about.
There was... So, we'll start with my complaint about this book. There's so much going on, and the art didn't really lead you in a clear direction. So sometimes there's just like stuff all over the page, and you had to kind of figure out what to read and how to interpret what was going on.
I agree. There was some weird scenes. The ones that really threw me for a loop were the ones where that lady was talking about roaches and shit in like the virtual world.
Yeah, that page in particular.
It was like overwhelming with data and drawings and stuff that I just like got lost. I didn't even know how to read it.
Exactly.
And the story was just weird. I mean, it was just like out of this world, but it was like, it was very intriguing. Like,
I'm gonna be honest with you. I still don't completely understand what's going on in this book.
Well, I don't either, but I'll tell you what I think is going on, and then you could say I don't agree with you. But I think there's a multiverse.
Yes, just like there's definitely a multiverse.
The DC multiverse. And these guys are on one multiverse, and they're watching like Halovids of another multiverse that's dangerous. That has like
basically. These... So is it basically like their stream? You can watch streams of the other multiverses,
right?
Like that's their entertainment.
Yeah, and that's what they're doing at this bar. So they have like a bar restaurant, and one of the workers is there, and the guy who owns the bar is there. And somehow, from another multiverse, his dead wife shows up in this younger version. And this guy's just infatuated. Right. He's like, oh shit, my wife's back.
Right, and he's like super excited.
Yeah, he's like blown away. He's like, my wife is here. I can't believe this is what's happening. And it's just so fucking weird because he's blinded to the fact until his other self comes through the portal. And he's much younger, and he's like, well, what are you going to do with this guy? He's probably needs Viagra to even get it up. And all this weird shit happens. And something happens with those scientists, like, on the other world. Like, there's a scene that I couldn't understand that seems to open up the breach between the multiverses that are allowing this weird shit to happen. And that's where this desert wolf that's mm-hmm. this parasite actually comes into the bar that we're following and just starts raising havoc. So it's like whatever happened with those scientists, all hell is breaking loose. And then there's those weird panels that are talking about it's very like Twitter or very centric on entertainment about roaches and how they can survive.
Yeah, that's
like
the
that.
One. Like, I'm understanding the story. Like, the wife comes back. Then all of a sudden, it jumps to one of the women in the bar, like, connects to the virtual world. And then there's a whole bunch of stuff where she's doing something online. And she's in love with a roach. And then she turns into a monster.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck happened. But I think
there's a fake ad for some cola. It's like, what the fuck is going on?
I had the same response. Like, this whole book was like, what the fuck is going on? But I was, like, entertained by this. Like, if I was watching a trauma film or something, I'm like, what the fuck? It's a bunch of chaos sci-fi that's thrown together, and I liked it.
Then there's some woman who takes a shower. And it jumps back to the virtual world.
I had no idea where the shower lady was coming from. There was two scenes that really threw me off. The one lady in the virtual world with the roaches, and then the one lady that's in the bikini.
Right.
I like don't know what that happened to do with anything.
I don't either. I don't know how it ties into anything.
And the title of this book is not Ass to Mouth. It just has the same acronym. It's called Alien Toilet Monsters.
I think if they've cut out the woman in the virtual world and the shower girl, it would have been a lot more
Straightforward.
straight, made more sense, yeah.
But to me, it had like the same formula that A Walk in Hell did. Like, it wasn't like it in your face straightforward, but it was like throwing out a lot of shit at you, and then you try to piece it together.
But at least in A Walk Through Hell, you could understand the individual parts. Like you understand the shooting at the mall, you understand the having lunch at a restaurant, and that they're the same agents that end up then at the warehouse at the end.
Yeah.
This one is just like there's stuff thrown out there that has no relation to anything, and it's out of context, and you can't really understand the page. Or how to read it, and you have no idea how it ties into anything.
I take it you didn't like this.
I think I gave it a 3 out of 5.
This one I still gave a 4 out of 5 just because it was such a clusterfuck of entertainment. I don't
And
understand it all, but I was entertained. And I liked the art. Even though it was weird and I didn't know like how to read it, I still thought it was very appealing to me.
and there's no toilets.
I thought there was a toilet.
Where was the toilet?
I thought the guy was cleaning the toilet at one time. Let me see. I thought it was towards the end.
I did not see any toilet monster. And I think you need to have a toilet monster in your first issue. If it's called Alien Toilet Monsters.
God, I thought I saw a toilet somewhere.
He's taking out the trash.
And I take it that this cook bartender dude is gay, like he has a gay lover. At least that's how I interpreted it.
I think he's married, yeah.
No, he wants to be married. Like he thinks there's a box in a drawer that is
Oh,
a
that's
ring.
right. Yeah, he wants to
Yeah.
propose.
I don't know what this woman in the shower scene is as I'm looking at it. I am like perplexed. And like, oh my God, orange, charming cherry and sweet lime. Like, what are
I
these
think
drugs?
there's something lacking in the storytelling in this. Just a lot being thrown at you at once.
The owner of the restaurant is like, can we turn this shit off? Can we turn off this shit? When they're talking about this parasitic wolf, let's turn this shit off. There's this one girl with rabbit ears at the bar too, and she says something. I thought it had to do with the toilet, but I can't find it now.
And then, did you say that for the guy whose wife comes back from or comes from the other multiverse, the version of him also comes from the multiverse to try and get her back? And
Yeah.
then, like some weird like law enforcement robot comes.
Did you see at the end? I don't know if these are real, but they have they're making action figures
I
on
assumed
the.
they were real.
You're right. I can't find the toilet scene now. I don't know. Maybe I just wanted it so bad that I pretended the toilet scene was there.
They could have had it because that creature, they could have had that one creature come through the toilet instead of appear in the alley.
Well, it's so weird because these guys in the suits, they're on the planet with that weird fucking wolf and it's getting like ass fucked by this purple armadillo. And this guy just starts running. He's like, holy fuck, Calculating optimal trajectory, generating superposition, parsing entanglement, intervening particle. Like this machine is like, he's just bouncing from world to world, and this wolf is changing him, chasing him, and that's how that wolf ends up in this world. I think that wolf kills the scientist, but as he's bouncing in the multiverse, he
It
ends up
ended
at
up
this
in our
bar.
world. Yeah.
And I think what's going to happen is this parasite, desert wolf scorpion. It's weird because this wolf, everything he eats, he turns into. Like if you see him at the end, he's like part wolf and part scorpion. Do you know what I mean? He's like
Yeah, when he
anything he
ate the
eats.
scorpion, he became part scorpion.
And he eats like a squid in the other one, and he's part squid. And I think he ate that man, and he starts to form into some kind of man. And I don't know what the fuck is going on,
So he's
but
going to eat a toilet.
that's what I think is going to happen. He's
And
going to
it's
eat a
become a
toilet.
toilet.
Warren
I
Ellis
mean,
loved this book. He gave it props.
must have been drunk when he read it. I do like the concept. I thought the execution was lacking. Like the whole concept. I mean, it's basically, it seems like it's going to be a story where these people are trapped in this bar where this creature from this other dimension comes. And we learned a little bit about the people in the bar, but just not in a clean way. Like it was just kind of thrown at us. Like there's the one woman who's into, has her own channel on the virtual channel on the internet, and she's into
Yeah.
roses. And there's some woman who's taking a shower somewhere. And there's the cook, and we got the guy who, his wife is dead.
Very entertaining. By the way, congratulations to Ryan King, who was a brunch buddy back in the day, for getting married. He got married.
Congratulations to Ryan.
So I'm on board. I'm gonna follow this journey if I remember to order it because the publisher's kind of a tough one to.
Do I even know who published it?
It's like. Begins with an O.
Onomorphic.
Onomorphic Press.
Omnimorphic.
Yeah. And the only book I think we have left. Did you read Peekaboo, by the way, from Zenoscope? I like that one, man.
I
That's
don't know if I've
good.
gotten it yet.
I will tell you that Survival Fetish, I kept reading. It's good. I like it. Skyward continues to be really good. The Immortal Men is the only other one I think we have. I think.
I didn't read
Oh,
that. That
you're
wasn't on
the
our list, was it?
you put it on the list. Damn it. It
I
was a
did
DC
not.
book. I got the
Immortal
Twitter
Man.
right now. Go to your messages. You have stuff I read, Coda number one, Last Siege, Immortal Men, Brothers Dracul, ATM, Cul-de-sac. And a movie on Prime. So you told me to read Immortal Men, and then you
I
didn't
did.
read it?
Yeah, I'm looking it up. Doesn't sound familiar. What's it
Oh,
about? Oh, Immortal Man. Where is it? Okay, I did read it. I gave it a 4 out of 5.
well, you liked it then.
Let's see, which one was this?
This is the one about the guy that keeps dreaming about. A faction of immortal people, and he wants to go to that location because he keeps thinking about it, and everybody thinks he's crazy, and he keeps on seeing glimpse of Vandal Savage in the in his dreams. This was by Jim Lee,
I'm going to pull it up so I can look at it.
Tinian, and Ryan Benjamin. And he's like searching for this place called the campus. He keeps dreaming about it. It's basically all set up. And the campus is a bunch of group of immortals, and it introduces a character called the Infinite Woman.
Oh, is this like the kid at the school?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this one.
Yeah, and the art was
I don't
great.
remember which one it was. Oh, yeah, I forgot to grab that one.
And
I
at the
suggested
end,
this one.
you suggested it. I only tell you what you tell me to read, and then you don't even know what you read.
Forgot about this one.
I liked it.
Yeah, I
I
liked it
thought
a
I
lot
thought it
too.
was a good it was there's so much going on in this, and but it's like a very interesting concept of something that I've never seen before. Like somebody was talking to me on Twitter, and I think he's from the Alternate Reality podcast, and he was saying he almost dropped this book, and I'm like, why? Why would you drop this? This is sort of original. And he says, well, this is like Gen 13 and this and this. He like listed a lot of like image books in the 90s, and I was like, this doesn't feel like an image book from the 90s at all. And there was one book that he listed that I didn't read, so I was like, maybe it's that one, because I don't see it at
That's
all.
the one.
But I like the Immortal Man. I thought it was good. I'm impressed with these DC Metal ones.
Yeah, I've liked most of them. And I get all the number ones. I've been definitely on board with the majority of them.
And then the other one you picked was Last Siege. Did you read that one?
Yeah, I have that one here, Last Siege.
I like this one.
This is Landry Q. Walker. It's an image book.
Like, this isn't something that I haven't seen before, but I thought the execution was really good. Like, I dug it. It's like swords and sorcery type things, but more no sorcery yet. But it's basically a kingdom that looks like they're gonna lose their king, and the only thing they have left is there's a daughter that seems really young. She looks really young, and the scary part is she's there listening to people talk about the future of her, where they're saying, oh, she'll be dead after she bears a child, and she's gonna be forced to marry this guy. This
Right,
guy.
because what wasn't the king killed, like the king ki was killed like in a
In a
battle,
battle, yeah. So she's
and they
like,
said, I think they won the battle, so they're okay, but the king was killed, so now all they have is this young daughter of the king, the young princess.
who's gonna have to marry this older fucker because of his relationships, I think, like where he is in position.
Yeah, and it also seemed like he was just kind of, he almost forced himself, like he's taken the dominant role just because he's an ass.
Oh, he is an ass. Like the guy comes into town and he's just like he attacks him immediately at the bar. All he was doing was drinking. And then he goes to beat the shit out of him, and then you find out that
Yeah,
the king gave
this guy's, yeah,
this.
it's a stranger who's coming towards the town, and he's drinking at a bar, and the guy who's going to marry the daughter, yeah, attacks, starts a fight with him.
Yeah.
And then the dude like says, just leave me alone, I'm just trying to get to the castle or whatever. And he gets there and he hands them a letter which tells them that the king said that he was the next in line.
And then everybody that he was going to have kill that guy, like he has archers in the building and everything. It's like they turn on him right o immediately. They're like, okay, this letter tells us otherwise, and we're not going to listen to you anymore.
And we all hate you, so
Yeah.
like, sorry, dude, you're not in charge anymore. I liked it. I think I gave it a 5 out of 5.
That's a high score.
Is a high score. I think I like the art too, Justin Greenwood.
I gave it a 4 out of 5. And then you had one more. You had the Coda.
Coda, yes. Did you read that?
No, I didn't order it.
I didn't order that. I'll talk about that one. Another Simon Spurrier book.
I think that's why I didn't order it.
Because he's hit or miss. But you might not have ordered it because it's a 50, fantasy book.
It was 50-50 with Simon Spurrier. Okay, I like some of his work a lot, and then I don't like some of his work. And then it was in fantasy, which the Last Siege just says it is, but it seemed more like non-fantasy, like more knights and kingdoms and shit like that.
Last Siege took place in a part of, or an aspect of that time period that I really like, which is when things aren't going well and everything's kind of broken and shitty and broken down.
Yeah.
I like that. Coda is definitely a different world. So one thing I'll say about it, this thing is huge. I think it was 40 pages for $3.99. So it's definitely a good deal for your dollar. And it almost seemed like when you got to the halfway point, it could have ended. Like that could have been the end of the first issue. So I think they just decided to make it a double issue to get people hooked. I don't think they even needed to, though. I think the first half had enough in it to hook me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Simon Spurrier wrote it, and the art is by Matthias Bergara. And I really like the art a lot as well. It's kind of a, gosh, I'm very bad at describing art. And the coloring is unique too. Let's see, what could I kind of describe the art as? It's almost like maybe a Nick Patara type style. Maybe a little simpler than that. Anyway, so this takes place in a post-apocalyptic fantasy world. So it's a world where kind of the magic has died. Like, there is magic, but there's only like little pockets of magic left. A lot of the creatures have been killed. Like, it opens with this, the main character, inside of the corpse of a dragon, and he's like a scavenger, basically. He's looking for stuff inside the dragon, but the dragon's actually alive because it's immortal. So it's this kind of skeletal dragon with just kind of skin hanging off of it, and it's still alive and it's talking to the main character who's inside of him. And like threatening him, saying he's like, well, he's threatening him, and he's also asking him to do stuff like in traditional Simon Spurrier fashion. He says, scratch my arse, or be doomed.
Yeah, arse.
Arse.
You hear that a lot in Hellblazer comics. Arse.
Agitate my bowel, bandit. Scatter the rodents. My rage is legend. So that's funny. So then the main character also has a unicorn, but it's a mutant unicorn. And instead of having one horn, it has five horns. And it's like black and has like red blazing eyes, and it kills everyone. who interferes with the main character. But then the main character goes to, he's traveling across the land, and he's trying to, what the heck was his mission? I think it was something about a girl. Like, he's trying to find, his wife was captured. So his main goal is trying to find his wife who's missing, who's been captured. And he ends up finding this, he ends up at this castle where, this castle, they still have magic, and they put magic in these giant steel cannons, and they have like a giant cannon on top of the castle. And he learns that that's the only way they're protecting their castle from the last giant. Like, there's one giant who's left in the world, and the one giant's with this like pack of bandits. They've kind of taken the giant on as part of their team. So he kind of teams up, or he teams up with the people at the castle, and they say they have enough magic, but they don't have any steel to make the balls. So he goes out trying to find steel for them. It was really good. I think it was definitely on the good Simon Spurrier writing, and it's It's fantasy and magical, but it's totally Simon Spurrier version of that. So it's like a post-apocalyptic world. There's a lot of like there's this overweight mermaid who's who tries to kill him, and there's like a lot of it's definitely a grimier, grittier, more seedier fantasy world.
Yeah.
I liked it. Can't remember what I gave it. I think I gave it a 5 out of 5.
That's high. That's like 3 5 out of 5s for you. I only gave 2 5 out of 5s.
No.
I
Exceeded
I
by
like
5 out of 5s.
I liked Barrier and the other Free Comic Book Day one. What was it? A Mall, the Mall.
Yeah, 5 out of 5.
Everything else I gave a 4 out of 5, which means I really enjoyed it. There wasn't anything that I didn't really enjoy. There wasn't anything I just liked it and said ho-hum. You had 1 3 out of 5, which was ATM.
Yeah, ATM was my only.
I found ATM to be really intriguing for a company that I've never heard of. It just surprised me. I thought it was going to be absolute. Maybe I went in with really low expectations, but I thought it was really well done. Even though you say it's all over the place, I agree with that. It was entertaining all over the place. So.
And did you talk about World of Tanks on the last episode? Or have you read
I
World of
don't
Tanks?
think I talked about it, but I did. Oh, maybe I did. We talked about tanks in general, but I did read the whole trade of it, the first one.
This must be the second one then. Citadel.
I didn't read the Citadel yet.
Okay.
Did you read the first one?
Yeah, I read the first one.
Yeah, that's Garth Ennis too, and that's good. I don't even care that it's based on a video game, it's just good story.
Was that the one based on a video game?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Well, there you go. Now you know.
Maybe wargaming.
So let's go into movies and
All
TV.
right. I watched a bunch of movies. Holy crap. I gotta pull them up though, 'cause I don't remember them all.
I watched the 48 Feet Down, so I'm going to give you the gist of it in like 2 minutes. So 48 Feet Down is available on Netflix, and I was going to go to the theater to see it because it involves sharks, and I'm a big shark guy. Like, I like shark movies. If The Shallows come to the theater, I go see The Shallows. I'm going to go see the guy that the transporter guy Jason Statham's in going to be in a shark movie. I'm going to go see that. I like sharks. That's one of my things. I like shark movies. So I missed this one at the theater and I watched it on the plane, and it's about two sisters. One's adventurous, one's not so much. The one that's not so much gets dumped by her boyfriend because she's not adventurous, and they end up going on a trip. I think it was to Mexico. And they meet two guys, and these two guys are, they're kissy kissy, but not having sex and stuff. But they were like, "Hey, let's go look at sharks. We can go into the waters, and you'll go under these cages, and you only go 10 feet under, and you'll be able to see sharks live, and you'll be in a cage to protect you." And when the other sisters never snorkeled or went deep sea diving or anything. And I don't want to spoil this movie because it has a really wicked twist, but they go underneath. The two sisters go together. The two guys go together. Everything's copacetic. They bring the cage back up. They bait the water, which is illegal. Matthew Modine, which I haven't seen in ages, is the guy running the ship. So he's an actor I do remember from 80s movies and stuff.
Are they fighting the sharks or are they just looking at the sharks?
They're just looking at the sharks. They just take cameras down there. They're to take pictures and such.
Because I was going to say, it sounds like that one comic, but I think in the comic they're fighting the sharks.
No, this one, they're just in a cage. They're just there to, like, view them, like, to take pictures. Like, if you were on vacation, the only thing that they do illegally is Matthew Modine baits the water. So they drop fleshy stuff, bloody stuff in the water so the sharks will be there. And the women, two women go on the cage, and they're just viewing the sharks, and everything's good. But the winch that is holding the cable breaks. And the cage drops to the bottom of where they are. And it turns out they're 48 feet down. And they, and during this time, you have, like, spawn clocks because they only have so much oxygen. So you get that claustrophobic, and they're so deep that their radio their radio signal dies. So the Brave Sister has to go out of the cage, loosen her oxygen tank, and try to get to a signal so she could get try to get to Matthew Modine and say, "Hey, we need help. You know, please get help us." And the whole is the whole thing is suspense, and it does
that
have
good.
It does have a surprising ending.
Oh, don't tell me what it is.
Yeah, it's pretty good because I didn't see it coming. Like it's a good ending. The only thing I could say that I didn't like was the one sister that's not experienced. She kind of overacts. Like it's obvious that she's
okay. So the acting is
it's a little over the top. Like you're too extreme and not natural. Like.
They're overacting.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
But really liked it. It fed on my claustrophobic type thing because while not claustrophobic, like being left in the middle of nowhere in the ocean, like open water has always freaked my shit. And this movie being, you know, had themes of possibly being left behind and in a cage where you're running out of oxygen, and that has like that buried alive feature because when you're buried alive, you run out of oxygen too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're also trapped in the cage essentially.
Yeah.
Ooh, that sounds good. I'll have to watch that one.
What do you got for us?
I wanted to talk about a movie which it's on Amazon Prime, so it is available. It's called The Florida Project. And this is a movie by Sean Baker. It's actually the first one I watched of Sean Baker's. He did a movie a couple of years back called Tangerine that I've been meaning to watch and just never got around to. But now I want to see all of his movies because I enjoyed this one so much. It takes place at a motel in Florida. I think like in Kissimmee, Florida, maybe. Just outside of Disney World. And it's the story of people who either can't afford or can't qualify to get an apartment. What they do is they end up living at motels and paying by the week. Because in a motel, you don't have to pass a credit check. You don't have to have a job. So it's basically people without jobs for the most part who are living. They say it's one step from homelessness because basically if you can't pay your pay for the week, then you're going to be out on the street. And this is a real thing. Like this is what a lot of people have to do. And it's, he's trying to kind of shed light on this aspect of society that you don't really hear about. And I didn't even really know about it, but it does make sense that if you have nowhere else that you can go, you'd end up at one of these. I mean, and they're just cheap budget, you know, motels that you end up living at. And there's an interesting rule that you can't establish residency at one of these places. So after 30 days, you have to leave and then come back. So you have to spend a night out away from the motel before you can come back, because otherwise, legally, you've established residency. So these people have to take all their stuff and leave for a night and then come back the next day, or else it's illegal for them to live there.
Right.
So the story follows this woman, this young woman, and her daughter. And I can't remember how old her daughter was, maybe like 9 or so. And it kind of follows the life of her trying to make money and support her daughter. And her daughter basically goes off during the day and has adventures with her friends. So it kind of follows their life. But it was really good and really, really well done. Definitely recommended to see this world. And the other interesting thing about Sean Baker, when he casts his movies, they use a combination of known actors and they call them first timers, which is people who have never acted before, and this will be their first movie. Because I think the girl in the movie, I think, was a first timer. She was really good. And the main woman, like the young woman, was actually someone that he discovered, I think, online, like on Instagram, or like did videos on Instagram or something like that. Mm-hmm. And he discovered her and brought her in. And then the owner of the motel is William Dafoe. So you have these newbie actors coming in, acting with, like, you know, an acting legend, which is interesting. And of course, I mean, Willem Dafoe was awesome because he's Willem Dafoe and he's amazing.
He's good and in Shadow of the Vampire. I love that one.
Yeah, this was an interesting role for him because he was actually the nice guy in the movie. I mean, because he cared about all the people.
Yeah, he's usually the bad guy.
Yeah, he's usually the bad guy. So this one, he's still kind of scary because he's Willem Dafoe, but he was like trying to help. He kind of feels like the people who are living there are kind of like his extended family, because so he tries to protect them and take care of them.
I think William Dafoe gets typecast because of his looks. He looks scary.
Yeah, he looks scary.
Did you ever see Shadow of the Vampire?
I don't think I saw that one.
That one you'd get a kick out of, because you talk about historical fiction. It takes the making of the first black and white Nosferatu,
mm-hmm.
and it turns it into a real vampire story.
Oh, I remember that one. Yeah, I don't think I ever saw that one.
William Dafoe is in it. You need to see that.
Well, now I need to see that.
It's very creative. Like the writers of that story took that film,
emerging
and
the
merged fiction to it. It's really good.
Cool. And then I also watched another Sean Baker movie, because I decided I wanted to watch all of his movies, and I watched one called Starlet, which came out in 2003, which was. So the concept here is that it's in California, and there's another young woman, I think she's probably in her early 20s, who she wants to get some stuff for her. She's living with this dude, and
This one was on Netflix. I remember seeing the legs and the
his girlfriend. Yeah, and it actually stars what's her name? Dree Hemingway, which is Mariel Hemingway's daughter. Yeah, Mariel Hemingway's daughter. And so she wants to get some stuff for her apartment. She's living with this dude and his girlfriend. And I think the dude and the girlfriend, he like sells drugs or something. And she goes to a garage sale, and she ends up buying this thermos from this woman, and she finds money in it, and then she feels guilty that she found, it's like a lot of money, and she feels guilty about it. She goes back to talk to the woman, and she wants to tell her, I guess, about it, and she ends up, and the woman's kind of mean to her, but she ends up kind of forming a bond with this old woman. So she keeps coming, she kind of finds ways of tricking the old woman to allow her to sneak into her life a little bit, and then she ends up forming a bond with this old woman. So it was really, really good. And the old woman in it was actually a first timer, and it's kind of interesting because the casting, it was either the casting director or one of the producers actually saw this woman at her gym, and she's 85 years old and never acted before, but they said, she said that, you know, we're casting this movie and we'd like you to come in and try out for this role. Have you ever acted before? And she said, no, but I've always wanted to be an actress. So it's kind of like a lifelong dream that she finally, at 85 years old, gets to be in a her first movie. And she was really good in it too. She did a really good job.
Well, I know it was on Netflix, so maybe I could check it out.
That was a good one. And then I wanted to mention just one other movie. This is like an older movie, and I think it was actually a Academy Award winner when it came out. It was in, let me find it here. There we go. What year was it from? 1945. I believe it was Best Picture in 1945. It's called The Lost Weekend. And it stars Ray Milland and Jane Wyman. And it's about this dude who is an ex-alcoholic. He's fresh out of rehab, and his brother and his girlfriend want to take him out to the country, out to go camping, like in the, I don't remember where they're going, but they're going to go camping for a weekend because they want him to get away from all temptation and kind of recharge his battery and all that. And he's going to go with them, but then at the last minute he decides that he's not going to go with them. So it ends up that he's alone for the weekend in this apartment, and he of course falls back on his old ways. So it's kind of him and his struggles to, he doesn't have any money, so he's trying to get alcohol, figure out ways of getting alcohol and drinking away his weekend. And it's kind of all the adventures he goes on in, I think he's in New York, in the city, like in the 40s. It was really good.
What made you watch that?
I don't remember.
Was it on TV and it just
No,
happened to
that
be
was a,
on?
no, I got that one on from the library.
Man, you're going all pretentious on us this week. You said 19, what was the year?
1945.
No wonder it doesn't even show up on IMDb.
It's a, no, it's got to be
It's called
MTV.
The Lost Weekend.
Yeah, The Lost Weekend.
There's some remakes, but I don't see the one.
Let's see, the original must be there.
1945. Okay, I found it.
Was really good. If you're into
It's got Jane Wyman, like you said, from the Go-Go's. I'm just kidding. That's just a different
Yeah, she was
person.
in the Go-Go's. She was 90, 95 when she was in the Go-Go's.
Wow, you went all out this week with some really pretentious stuff.
I went all the way pretentious.
You went a 10 out of 10 pretentious on your movie choices.
I also did see Solo, and I did see The Incredibles Part 2.
Oh, how was
Both of which
that?
I liked it a lot. Incredibles was really good.
Was it better than the first one or about the same?
It was about the same. I might have even liked it more, but it's been so long since I saw the first one, so I can't really compare
Did you
apples
take
to
your son
apples.
or?
Yeah, my son and I went.
Ah.
It was really good. It was Jack-Jack is awesome, so they definitely didn't lose a beat. So if you enjoyed the first one, you're gonna like this one.
It's strange. Yesterday we were supposed to go to the movies. And I really, at the time, I wanted to see Jurassic Park and Incredibles, but I'm starting to hit that movie mode where I want to see something different. Like, I'm tired
Yeah,
of.
I think it's called being pretentious.
Well, I almost want to get into that mode. So, like, I was trying to convince Barb to go see Hereditary, but she's worried that it's going to turn into The Witch. Like, it's.
Oh, that's awful.
Did you see The Witch?
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah, we hated The Witch, but the critics loved it. It was almost 100 on Rotten Tomatoes at one time.
Yeah, I don't get
Hereditary
that.
has that same sort of shit happening
So you're
where
scared.
the fan. So we were hesitant. I asked
Yeah.
Rob, and he said it's really slow, like 70s horror. You'll probably like it, but I didn't want to. His reply back to me made
Didn't
me
sell you on it?
hesitant,
Yeah.
made me a little hesitant. And then I really wanted to see something light, so it was a Tag or another one, and we talked ourselves out of just sitting on the porch and reading. So we didn't go to a movie, but we did watch It, and we never saw that at the theaters, the new one in
Oh, the new one.
2017.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
It was really well done. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. That's a scare one scary ass clown, I'll tell you that.
I totally forgot I needed to see that movie.
The one girl that plays in that, like the teenage girl, she reminds me of like a cross between Scarlett Johansson, like at a really young age, and I can't even think of the one that was married to Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman, like somebody like that. But the actors are really good. Everybody talks about it being like Stranger Things, but I haven't seen Stranger Things, so I have nothing to compare about it, to compare it to, but I liked it. I never saw the original either, so or read the
You know,
book, so I didn't know what to expect.
I don't know if I've seen the original either, and I know I didn't read the book because I don't like Stephen King.
I like Stephen King. It's
I
too
like
too popular for you that you it's
I
not.
like his I like his shorter stuff, but I feel in his long books he just rambles on too long.
Yeah.
He's not very concise. I was reading Tommyknockers, and there was a I swear to God, there was 11. He was describing a room, and he went on for 11 pages describing this room. Like every little object in the room, he described in detail. I was like, "Come on, you're just padding. You're just trying to build up your page count. There's no way you need to describe everything in the room."
I only read
Sucks.
two books from him, and I enjoyed them. I read,
The short ones? They must have been short
well,
ones.
Misery's pretty short.
Yeah, that's one of the shorter, I
I
think.
read Misery and I read Salem's Lot. Salem's Lot was pretty thick.
I do like. I mean, I
I've
don't
seen
know.
I have seen almost all
Brett
of his
don't.
movies.
Yeah, I like
I think I've seen 90% of his movies.
his concept. I mean, I have no problem with his concepts. His stories are always very interesting.
And I'm currently reading Joyland, and I'm enjoying that. That's
That's a
crime
short one,
noir.
isn't it?
Yeah, it's not too big. It's one of those hard case crimes.
Yeah. You're reading that one? It's good. Do you see?
Yeah.
Hey, do you, so we had an interesting Twitter. There's an interesting thread on Twitter with hard case crime or with Titan hard case crime books.
Yeah, I saw that about them doing a cover book.
Yeah, I said what they need to do is because they said they're going to do some. Was it prints that they're going to do with some of
Yeah.
the covers? And I said, I wish there was a book with the covers. And they said, well, we're thinking about that too. Oh, man. If they bring out like a nice hardcover, like a coffee table type book.
Yeah,
Covers.
I bought my father-in-law a Men's Adventure magazine cover coffee table book, and it's just like that because to me their covers are like a Men's Adventure magazine
Yeah,
covers,
a little pulpy.
very pulpy.
Yeah. That'd be great. But they need to include the comics in there too. Or bring out one for the comics.
Yeah.
Because those are some covers. Woo!
They are. There's some great covers. I'd buy it if it comes out.
Me too.
I think they just came out with another thing following up on that. But I think I retweeted it yesterday.
What was
So
that?
they're really considering that. Like you suggested it prior to them saying we're gonna do it.
I think I gave them the idea.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
But I don't think they would have acted that fast if they didn't have that idea first.
Well, they can act pretty quick. Well, I mean, what do they got to do? They just got to put a cover on it, and they're done. They already have the scans of all the good covers.
Yeah.
They're like, that's a great idea. Throw a cover on there. They can claim it was our idea. I'll definitely take the credit. So, have you gotten your text from Barb's
Not
uncle?
yet, but I did want to tell you I did watch all of the Toys That Made Us second season. I thought it was good. Like I really thought the Star Trek one had the same vibe as the Barbie one because the Mego guy went to jail for taxes.
Yeah, but it wasn't just about the Mego.
Oh, it was
Like, if
about
they had
Star
just.
Trek toys, but that's what I liked about it was it kind of showed how bad that license was managed and when they
Yeah,
did
it was
finally have
interesting from.
success.
Yeah, it was interesting from that perspective just to see how mismanaged that was compared to some of the other properties that where it was done correctly.
Well, it made a fortune for Mego because the guy spent like 5 grand for the license. And he made millions of dollars off that, off the Mego dolls and the play sets. And then how he turned down the Star Wars and he's like, oh, I fucked that up.
So were the Migos Star Trek characters popular because that was like the first licensor that actually took it like seriously,
It was the first
brought out
licensor
quality stuff?
that did it like the show. Like said, the other people were just like fucking taking existing toys and stamping the Star Trek logo
Right.
on it.
Doing like boomerangs and
Yeah,
squirt guns.
what Mego did was they started making like the phasers and the ships like the ships and the play sets and the dolls
Actual
like the
characters, yeah.
actual characters. And it I actually have a Scotty and one of the aliens, so I was like, this is cool. Like, I never had the play sets or anything, but I did have one of the Planet of the Apes, and it showed how one of the aliens was just morphed from the Planet of the
Or
Apes.
from
Yeah, well,
the
they said they took the vest from the ape, the something from the another character. Oh, they took the lizard's head. It was a Gorn alien from Star Trek, and they were doing a Mego Spider-Man lizard figure, so they just took the head from the
Oh,
lizard,
it's a
morphed it a
lizard
little
head.
bit, took the Planet of the Apes vest. It was
Well,
crazy how they created it.
that was in the, I don't know, it was either the G.I. Joe or the Star Wars one where they talked about it, where they take the mold and they just like, all you got to do is add some
Yeah, just something
stuff into
different.
the mold, yeah, to change it slightly and just
Yeah,
reuse it so you don't have to make a new mold.
I really enjoyed that one. I enjoyed the Transformer one 'cause I'm naive and I don't like Transformers. So I like learned a lot, so I liked it.
We're too old for that.
Well, I didn't know that the Japanese really did all the work. All the Americans did was like they did the creative work, like to give them the story, the backstory. Like Marvel Comics really did was substantial in creating the story and the names for the characters, but like all the engineering behind the figures and stuff was done by Japan, which was they were the specialists on it. All we did was market it. So I thought that was fascinating,
Yeah, that
and
one would be good to watch.
that was a good one. And I even like the Hello Kitty, even though I have no interest whatsoever, to see how they took a silly, what I think is silly concept and turn it into a
Made a
multi-million-dollar
phenomenon.
franchise. Yeah. And what was the other one? There was another one. I can't think of what it was. No, I already talked Transformers, Hello Kitty. I can't think of what the other one was, man. I'm drawing a blank.
I don't know. I'd have to look it up. I haven't watched them yet, so I do not know. Yeah, I'll watch the rest of that season. And the other ones sound more appealing to me just 'cause I don't know. for some reason, this maybe I think it was just the beginning of the Star Trek one threw me off. But once they got to the Mego stuff, that's more what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I'm trying
that's
to
what
go
I've
there.
Come to know and love.
Oops, I'm starting to play it. Where? How the hell do I select an episode on this down?
That's what I hate the new stupid Netflix, because now whenever you click on something, it just like starts playing it.
I
can't
just
even look
see
at the description.
The shows. Yeah, I just want to see.
Can't.
I can't
play
believe
it.
I'm drawing a blank. I'm like totally drawing a blank. Star Trek, Transformers. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lego. That was really good.
Oh, the Lego. I've already seen the documentary on Lego, though, so I already know.
I did not, so I learned a lot. Like, I had no clue. I'm oblivious to it, so I learned a lot about Lego.
That's amazing that it's still a family-owned thing.
And I found it fascinating that they almost went bankrupt, like, 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's crazy.
Now they're as huge as... Huger than they've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
They got some good properties, though.
That's kind of what saved them was the Star Wars property is what they said saved them from bankruptcy. And the other thing that saved them is that programming language, which was cool because they were determining whether to start suing people because they put this programming Lego language together with the intent that they wanted to keep it low level and adults started buying it and tweaking the language.
Yeah.
And made it really freaking advanced. And they were like, should we sue these people? What are, you know, they're stealing our stuff. And instead of doing that, they embraced, they've always had like a embrace ingenuity, you know, kind of philosophy.
Right.
I mean, that's the whole concept behind Lego is
get people using their brains
to create things. So it's interesting how they haven't sued more than they've sued. Like, even though they have all these Lego knockoffs, the only time they've really sued anybody is when they've literally duplicated what their
right.
playset looks
copied
like.
Copied the exact
playset and brick.
Yeah.
And the first set of Legos wasn't even, like, you could build stuff, but it didn't have that circular design on the bottom of them to keep them to stick. So they would, like, fall apart. I mean, I learned a lot. Those things are worth a fortune, too, so. I really liked it. I highly recommend to finish watching it if you haven't already.
Yeah, and I need to do that. And then I saw that Season 2 of Glow is available now, so I need to watch that too, because I loved the first season of that. Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
There's
fascinating
so much,
story.
So many shows on, I just don't have time.
I know.
I don't.
I know, I still haven't watched Stranger Things Season 2.
I haven't even watched Season 1, so there you go. I'm just barely getting caught up on Gotham now, so I am slow.
I'm behind on Gotham, too. I'm super behind on Lucifer.
How far are you? Where are you on at Gotham right now?
I don't know. It's been a while since I watched it, so I don't remember
okay.
where I left.
Did you see the Buried Alive one yet?
I don't remember that one.
Okay, that's gonna really tweak on your claustrophobia.
Where was I? I think I was getting into the Joker stuff.
Oh, that's early. Or maybe
yeah.
you're ahead of me. I don't know.
The second Joker, Nia, not the first time.
You might be ahead of me.
Maybe I just missed that episode. It's possible.
Could be. Or you don't remember it.
I don't
it's
remember
in the
it.
White dots.
He's buried alive?
Yeah, by Leslie Tompkins when they had that virus of the Mad Hatter was injected.
Oh, yeah. I guess I did see that one.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I think I saw that one. So I think I'm ahead of you.
All right. Well, do you want to wrap this one up?
Sure.
Just a couple of things. Barb made brick chicken. That was really good. What you actually have to go to like Lowe's or Home Depot and buy bricks and cover them in
Can't you just get them
foil.
From your house?
Well, the worry about is there might be dog urine on it.
Oh, that's true.
So
Or
you don't
bird
have
poop.
to, you could get two new bricks and put foil on it, and
Did you
then
ask them?
you
Did you ask
smash
them
the
at the
chicken
store if
between
they're
it.
fresh?
This was a Tegan recipe.
Oh, Barb's favorite.
Yeah, and
Woman crush.
came out great. And then Barb has become a master at taking cauliflower, at least for me, and turning it into like this mush
Puree.
that you can't buy in at like a grocery store's got nothing on Barb's cauliflower mashed potatoes, but these I can't even tell the difference between her cauliflower mashed potatoes and regular mashed potatoes. So
Delicious. Does she
I
make the Tegan mashed potatoes? I mean,
no
mashed
no this
cauliflower?
this was her own experiment, and
Ah.
it comes out really good.
Cool.
And then she made another recipe. I don't know if this was a Tegan one, where she's like stuffed the chicken with cottage cheese and some kind of like vegetable mix or spice mix, and that came out well too. So Barb's been doing a lot of recipes lately.
I assume she used some kind of recipe for that, because that doesn't seem like something you'd
Oh, and
experiment
it was
with.
wrapped in bacon too.
There you go.
There you go. There's two things you
Wonderful.
can't eat. All you could have is the cottage cheese and the herbs in the
And
middle of it.
yeah, I'd say just cook up
I would
the
just have
cottage
to
cheese
mix up the
vegetables.
middle part. And here, Bill, you could have this, and we'll eat the chicken and bacon.
I'll stuff it in some veggie bacon. There's no real good veggie chicken breast. Some out of luck.
The sandwich ones aren't bad, the breaded ones. I've even eaten those and thought they were all right.
Yeah, the chicken patties are pretty good.
Like the
That's mostly breading,
especially
so.
if it's like the spicy one, 'cause
Yeah, the spicy one's
it
good.
masks
The
the
non-chicken.
non-chicken, yeah.
I have been making a Thai dish. It's shit, what's it called? Penang, I think. Curry.
Yeah.
Just with tofu and vegetables is good. Coconut milk. I'm gonna make that for lunch, I think. But I am you're right in that I am a creature of habit. Like, if I like something, I can keep eating it. I don't get sick of anything. Well, it takes a long time for me to get sick of stuff.
Yeah. But if I was around, I'd make you eat something different.
I'm
Because in the
fine, but
post
I'll eat
apoc
something
the
different.
post
I don't really
apoc
care.
you're
I'll
almost
eat
like
different
you're
stuff.
almost like a cow, and you just go on the field and graze. Eat the same shit all the time.
I don't eat just the same thing.
Yeah,
A variety of things, but it's a
crackers and
limited variety.
tube fish, it's all same shit.
Oh, I would like
And then you add some pepper, and okay, I changed the recipe.
that. Well, isn't that basically what you're doing? You're just taking a chicken and throwing some other junk on it. It's just chicken. It's all just chicken.
Right, well, you can reach us
You can
at
stuff
the.
it, you can press it, it's
You can
still
push
chicken.
it.
You can push it, you can stick it in something.
You could put it between your butt cheeks and walk around for a while.
Wrap it in your bacon. Well, if you put it in your butt cheeks and walk around, then that was like raw.
That's like the raw restaurant we went to.
Cooked by your own body heat.
That's what they did with that the nut burger I ate. Oh crap, we better get going. All right, so you can reach us at geekbrunchpodcast.com and where else?
You get Facebook, just do a search for
Yes.
Geek Brunch Podcast. You can email us, Bill at Comic Book Noise, Mike at Comic Book Noise.
And Twitter is at DBM00 and at Mike Myers Brunch. And you can send money anytime you like or
Don't
comment.
forget to If you're enjoying the episode, share it with your friends on the social medias.
Yes. We're watching that stuff, so if we see you share, we know you care.
Sharing means caring.
Sharing means caring. Care. Be kind, rewind, and listen to the podcast again.
That's right.
Yes.
The more times you listen, the more money we make from our sponsors.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll talk to you later, Bill.
All right.
Sorry
Bye.
To wrap this up, but they're almost already there. And Barb was
enjoy your lunch.
Yeah, with Uncle Mason. I'm looking forward to that. Uncle Mason. We're gonna go
tell us how
Mason
he
jar.
Tell us how he enjoys Barrier.
Okay, I will. All right, talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Bye.